Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
It's Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. And you're listening to Super Gaming Best Friends, the second most popular podcast on HorribleNight.com, because nobody likes us. I'm your host, Josh Lee. Joining me across the table here is the host of the most popular show on the website, The Horrible Show, Justin Lacey. How's your show going?
It's great every other week.
Isn't that neat?
Starts are down this week.
Oh.
They're up next week.
Oh, so maybe you're not
first. It depends on the
first.
Week. See how that works?
So what you're saying is,
I like
Super
being
Game Best
on
Friends?
All shows that we
okay,
do. Because
okay.
I'm a control freak.
Would you ever allow a show that you weren't on Horrible Night? Like a regular show?
Look, I think,
can you imagine that?
No. I can't.
Yeah. One of the weeks
we took
freak.
Off before the charity marathon, I almost let you guys run Super Game Best Friends.
Almost.
Me.
Notice that? Almost.
No, you guys couldn't make it either.
Didn't you let me run Lonely Gaming Pen Pal, which is like the most depressing show ever created by man?
But the way that
you want to be part of that?
But the way you published it, I had the option of not showing it to the world. I still had editorial control. The fans would be disappointed if they were expecting a Super Gaming Best Friends and it didn't happen. Like, can you imagine like how nervous I would be to know that you guys are live? Without me?
Oh, man. No, but I can see on your face
the way
you stress out over like, oh, hope they don't do something stupid. Like anybody cares. Like the FCC is going to take us off the air or something, or Twitch is going to ban us. Like, no, like they don't care. But I'm glad that you care because it keeps us in line. Because I don't trust guys like Ethan Moses, Herr Moses, the Führer of video games from Germany. Ethan.
Did we lose Ethan?
I think we lost him. I think he's disconnected. Coleman Rose here as well.
Hey!
Oh, gosh.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, God. Yeah, what's new with you, Cole? What's new? Tell us something really
games.
Cool.
Video games, video games, video games.
Yeah, you've actually been playing a lot, so that's good.
Yeah, actually, I spent a lot of time this past weekend playing a lot of video games.
You know what? We're going to talk about those games, too. And I'm guessing there's a little bit of Wii U in there, maybe, the new Nintendo console.
Nah.
Yeah, the three of us, we got lucky.
You're not my only friends on the Wii U console, but you're basically my only friends.
You don't have Megan on your list, do you?
I do now. Okay. I added her last night. And I have a random girl named Grace who friended me because she thought I was somebody else.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
That's somebody that has to know your ID.
The way you add friends is you have to add them, they have to add you.
Well, you know what? You might have written something cool on the Miiverse.
Oh, I did. Of course I did.
And you got enough yaz. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. Oh, look, Ethan Moses is back. Ethan, are you here this time?
Yeah,
live
absolutely.
From Germany.
I don't know what's going on. Google is being just googly.
I thought it was your country that actually booted you off. As soon as I said the Führer of video games, I thought it was somebody was mad.
Am I being censored right now?
That's what I thought. Like, wow, man, they are really strict. It's pretty soon you're going to be living in Australia. You didn't even know it.
But if that's the case, that makes me feel kind of good, actually, because that means someone cares about me. A whole country.
How's things going over there?
It's going well. It's cold. Holy cow. Europe gets cold. I don't know how people have existed here for as long as they have with how cold it gets.
I know. You think, like,
My little fingers, man. My little fingies.
You think people would be a lot hairier. You know, like everyone would look like Gossamer. You know?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah.
That's how you'd survive, right? I mean, evolution would, like, those are the things
you
need to continue.
There's some good beards. I mean, there's a lot of good beards. I've seen some good beards here. I really have.
Did they have Movember?
Yes, they had Movember.
Really?
And a freaking half.
Oh,
my
wow.
gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some.
I
actually went out one evening to a soccer game with a bunch of dudes who had been doing November.
Did you call it
Movember?
Soccer?
I did, and that was a wrong thing to do. Whatever you want to call it. Dude, these dudes had some solid freaking mustaches. I was embarrassed. I had my little crappy pubes all over my face.
The bloom.
And, oh my gosh, it was horrible. But the these bloomer. Guys, look, they look good. So yeah, they do mustaches well over here.
Mustaches are quality. Mm-hmm. I just grew my beard back, and I feel like so much more comfortable in my own skin, you know?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No.
So, yep. It's becoming the standard crew, actually, is here. We used to have rotating cast, but sorry, everyone else.
It's too many.
Yeah.
Too many Wii U to talk about.
Yeah, so we're going to have a bit of a Wii U-focused show here, at least up front. We have plenty of other games to talk about, but even if you're not interested, you're like, Nintendo consoles, just hear us out. Hear us out. Because we were skeptics once, too.
I remember yeah. Those days.
Let's go to our on the spot question here. This week's question. And by the way, send yours in to ask@horriblenight.com. We'll answer them live on air on one of our shows, or we won't if they're not good.
Does that do yeah.
Like what Justin did. This one comes in from Verdian, All Star in our live chat. He asked about the THQ Humble Bundle. It's not in the form of a question, so I'll pose it. So, is this the end of the Humble Bundle's reputation? Have they lost respect in your eyes? Is THQ, is this their death throes that you're witnessing materializing here in the form of a money grab?
So, third question?
Answer any of those, Justin.
I don't think this is the death throes of THQ that was already taking place prior to this.
Okay. Pick another question.
I was surprised that the Humble Bundle attached themselves to it, but in the end, this still all goes to charity, and this is raising a shit ton of money for charity, yep. And so it's really hard to get mad at that. The thing they gave up was just the openness of the games being on being open source and.
No DRM free right. software for the first time.
Right.
At a Humble Bundle.
And then it was
Humble Bundle.
And it was platform limited to Steam and PCs. But
I don't see that as a bad thing, but
like
yeah. I saw some comments on this. I'm sorry, I'm gonna jump
in. Do it. You're passionate. I've been steaming
about this whole shit. You got some awesome games in this bundle. You got some unbelievable games. And the Humble Bundle gives you good games regardless. Mm-hmm. I have yet to participate in a Humble Bundle. I like to call them the Humble Action Pack, but that's just me, without getting some really good games. You got some really good games, and you have the gall, yes, the gall to say, oh, Humble Bundle sold out. Go fuck yourself. I mean that.
I like it.
I absolutely mean that. Those are some incredible games. I don't give a shit who they're by. I don't care if you think it's a money grab or a grab money, which is the opposite. I don't know if that works.
A publicity grab.
This is my issue with some gamers grab. Right now. This is my issue with this unbelievably like oh, we had to be underground. Like, oh, Humble Bundle is mine. Like, oh, I'm going to get some really great games with a lot of value that are really fun that'll make me really
it's the hipster culture.
No, yeah, I know. Ethan.
Saints Row 3 was Ethan. In this. Saints Row 3
Ethan,
was in this.
Ethan, did you pick as soon as you saw like the saw this go up, did you cuz I did this. I immediately pictured like a dude with like a pencil stash and his stupid little fedora, see it, and as soon as he opens the Humble Bundle page, seeing THQ and the games, and going, and his fucking hat blown off his head,
yeah,
and like his mustache flying fucking off in hipsters. Two directions from either side of his face, boom, and like going like, what? You took my where my indie games?
His Pabst Blue Ribbon loses the taste that it never had. Yeah.
It boils out of the can.
Dude,
it curdles immediately.
It's unreal. Here's the thing. It's nuts. That I mean, what was in that bundle? Like, just I'm trying. I mean, what? You had Saints Row 3,
Darksiders, all three the Company Heroes and both expansions, and that.
Dude, that is what that is. I think that is what got me the most.
Metro and Red Faction, the new Red Faction
Armageddon.
Game.
Yeah,
which there is not a single one of those games that is not just a solid game. I think Red Faction Armageddon was probably the weakest game, but it was still a good game, a fun game to play. You have Company of Heroes in there, and you're going to tell me, that there's some sort of conspiracy?
But most people, you could beat the average by $5, at least at most during most of the deal. It was like $5, and you could get all those games. And now, I think most of us here have all those games already because THQ sales on Steam and Amazon have been ridiculous for some time. But, if you don't have those games...
I had bought Metro the weekend before.
Well, at a sale price, I'm sure, right? But the thing is, if you're just, maybe just now getting back into PC gaming or something like that, and you need to build a collection, even if you own these on console, they're the better versions of all these games on the PC, and it's, dirt-ass cheap. And you can just... You know what? If you're like, oh, THQ, blah, take the slider for THQ and put it all the way down and send it all to Charity and Humble Bundle. Like there has been some real, And I think most, sensible people look at it and go, it's not that big a deal. And Cole, I'll let you weigh in here in a second. But I think some people that are maybe a little more rational that are worried about it would say this may be a precedent. So Humble Bundle can only really do so many bundles, maybe. They're going to hit a saturation point.
I'll be honest, a lot of the... every time they do a new bundle, I'm like, really? Are there another half dozen quality indie games that...
Well, they've been doing other stuff other than games. They had music and books and stuff. Mm-hmm. And now, so the precedent might be here to make a step towards something that would be considered unacceptable for everyone, where they go, you know what? This is dirty. And I don't know what that is. And I'm not saying I think that. I'm just saying that that's what some people think. And that you know, maybe it could go in a direction where something kind of gross could come up there, and it's like, man, this is because even if it's for charity, I think there's some causes that could piggyback on that people wouldn't really approve of. And sure. Cole, go ahead and what's your opinion on this?
I look at it and I think, wow, you get a lot of great games for a really good price. And even if it is saturated with all the THQ sales previously on Steam, there's still a great opportunity to play a lot of great games. And that's, that's all I kind of look at it as. I don't get into the hipster culture of being pissed off about it, or even the precedent that it sets. There could be other, Activision or EA jumping on this at some point. I think it's a great thing to get these games for cheap and, donate to charity if you have any issues with it.
Well, and let's say that the most corrupt people on the planet got into this, okay? Let's say Activision and EA got into this. Well, holy shit. No, they're not, I'm kidding. That's actually, I'm making an allusion to an article where someone wrote that the EA was the worst company on the planet.
No, we're with you, man. We're with you.
I hope everybody gets it. But here's the thing. Here's how I feel about charity. Is if somebody who sucks does something for charity, that's way better than somebody that sucks not doing anything for anyone but themselves. And it blows my mind. It fucking blows my mind when people think that there's a level of charity that, oh, you can be charitable, but if you are some, multi-billion dollar company, you can't be charitable. Dude, here's the thing. And I was a social worker. I worked in the social field. I understand people that have to deal with all of this stuff. They don't give a fuck who that money comes from. The fact that money comes from somebody and they're getting help, they appreciate it. They're not hipsters. They have a realistic viewpoint on life. And they say, wow, that's really nice. EA, cool. I don't know who the fuck you are. It doesn't matter. You're giving me food on my table. Thank you very much. And here's the other thing. All these people that were complaining about the THQ bundle, I'm pissed about this. So I'm just going to let you know. I almost wrote an article, but luckily Brotabulous came out this week, which
is a lot. Technical difficulties, but we're back. Ethan Moses, what were you saying? Please finish your point there.
Okay. Last thing I say, I won't rant anymore because obviously when I complain and yell, the fucking stream goes down. You guys that complain about this, you bought it. Every single one of you, if you didn't already own the games, you fucking bought this Humble Bundle. Fess up. That's all I got.
Yeah. Take that.
I think my rant was a lot angrier than that, but I forgot.
Yeah, you were heated. You were heated, and we were down for 5 minutes, and you really lost the fire.
I cool down quick.
Yeah, you do.
Cool hand Luke here, Give me some eggs.
50 of them.
Is that how many he ate? 50?
Wow. There's no way. There is no way.
That's a lot of.
Paul Newman is a badass.
Yeah, yes, he is. What's your favorite Paul Newman film, Cole?
Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, I was gonna say
wrong. Your opinion's wrong. It's The Hustler.
The Hustler. Yeah, yeah. He's pretty good in The Sting too.
Not bad.
Ooh, yeah. Sting as well, not Sting 2.
Not bad.
The Sting 2 was not good.
Was Emilio there was a sequel? In that one?
There is a sequel, yeah.
Who was in it? And please say Emilio Estevez.
I don't remember.
Oh.
Dude, Emilio Estevez, Rosie O'Donnell, and Richard Dreyfuss.
He's also good in Color of Money.
I don't have anything for that.
Where'd we go?
Oh, my gosh. Let's get into some game talk.
Can we call it that?
What are you playing? Also known
game
as
talk.
Game talk. let's get our Wii U hardware discussion out of the way, because we're all going to have opinions on the hardware itself, and then we'll get into our game list. Because it is, and Ethan, you're laughing, but it is kind of an experience in and of itself, just as buying an Xbox today with the live subscription could be for somebody for the multimedia stuff and all that kind of stuff. And people want to know, like, does the controller suck? How's the internet features? How's Miiverse? What's a Miiverse? Cole Monroe, would you like to start us off?
How would you like me to start? There's a lot to talk about.
You took it out of the box. What happened?
Yeah.
It blew up. Well, I got the black version, so I got fingerprints
back
all over it.
Back it up. Back it up. Come on. I have not made fun of you guys for that. I just said I preferred the white one because of that. Shut your mouth.
Wow. Let's hear about this.
Shut your whore mouth.
I'd rather have the device match my other devices in my entertainment center.
Yeah, and you know what? My Wii is still in there, so the Wii U next to it looks like it just fits.
And your Xbox is white, right?
And actually, yes, it is. So shut your whore mouth. Okay, but no, let's first talk about the smell.
I'm actually with him on this one. I like the smell of a new console.
Yeah, the smell of new anything when you open up a cardboard box, right?
Yeah.
It's plastic. It's something wrapped in plastic.
I don't think Brad Pitt would agree with you on that in terms of seven.
Nice seven reference.
Item. Was that cardboard? Yeah, it was. That's good.
Yeah.
Cole, yes. How'd it smell?
It smelled great.
Okay. How about now? So how was your first experience?
My first experience, well.
Awful?
it had to do the update. To get it going, so that was my first experience.
That is a slow download.
Yeah. Luckily, I had a TV, a DVR wrestling to watch, so I watched wrestling. Yeah. And
I know Josh has a faster, a better internet connection, I'd say, than both of us. Mm-hmm. Was the download still slow for you?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was.
Did it take an hour? Mine took about an hour, 20.
Nintendo was the bottleneck for everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? That's not going to be an issue going forward, hopefully, because as it staggers, because everyone was trying to get it all at once.
But we got the system like 3, 4, 5 days later.
Yeah, and so did everyone else. Like, people were still, it was still... For as much talk as everyone said, like, oh, it hasn't sold out like the Wii did, there were more available, and they are selling out. It's not like they're just piling up. The ones that go up do sell, and they just replace them. But
the black ones anyway.
But they're still going fast. And chat here. Do they force the updates? And if you want to use, yeah, actually, the first time you fired up, you set the internet connection, and there's the update.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some optional updates, like when you do a game, you can usually close the update.
You can skip it, yeah.
It also didn't ship with a lot of the online features ready to go. You had to get.
You really do
all that
need
software.
To do that, yeah. But you know what? Connected up to the internet once, I can't imagine people, unless you're like if you're deployed or like, I mean, if you live in the boonies, are you getting a Wii U? Like, that seems weird. Like, get some internet. It's time to get some internet, maybe. Go ahead and do that.
But yeah, be prepared when you first get it that you're going to
have something else to do for sure.
It takes a while. I don't know how big it is. Was it a gig or something like that? It downloads something substantial.
I think it was like
4. I don't think it was that big.
It's just slow.
It did take a while. And
the nice thing is about like I said, I was watching something on DVR. It everything's on that gamepad, so you can you don't have to have your TV like stuck on that screen.
Oh, it's true.
Like
you could
for another game console.
Yeah, I wasn't that smart. I just kind of left it on my big TV and just kept walking back and forth.
So, Cole, you touched on there. One of the greatest features of the hardware is the independence of the gamepad. And I'm sure everyone's seen it by now, but that, you got a 5-inch screen
Yeah.
5-inch touchscreen that you also have a stylus if you don't need, you know, for more accurate stuff if you don't want to use your finger. And it has the full complement of buttons that an Xbox controller would have. Minus, it doesn't have analog shoulder buttons. They're digital shoulder buttons, right? It's just it's digital, 1 and 0. But still, it, and I think it feels good in the hand.
Yeah, it's light. It's
not too bulky. Yeah,
no cramping at all. Yeah,
it's and I think it's just about perfect. I wouldn't want to play it for a long period of time holding it in front of me, but for resting in your lap, it's like the perfect shape of the way your hands like rest on it. And I have pretty average shaped hands. I don't know, Cole, your hands are
bigger,
extremely large. How does it feel to you?
It feels great. It's really comfortable. Like I said, no cramping, and it's they designed it perfect. I think, you know. Every little handhold on the back fits perfectly, and yeah, it's just it fits great.
So, that's you know, that was one feature that I thought was, you know, I'm like, okay, so the screen stuff, like just the gamepad itself is like a quality piece of hardware. Now, the separation though of the gamepad from the TV is almost like a I mean, this is something that's kind of different. Like, we knew, like, the two-screen experience was going to be, you know, it's going to be like, you know, like a big gigantic DS or whatever. But the independence was something I didn't expect to be so convenient. Yes. Because there's been a lot of times where I've done something with it, and I didn't turn the TV on, or it was already on something else. And I could still mess around. I could still, you know, go in the eShop or play a game. I mean, that's the thing. Like, probably half the games work with just the gamepad if you want to.
The most interesting thing for me was when I came home and started setting up, and my girlfriend really didn't know what the Wii U was, and she was asking me about it, and I didn't have like that quick one sentence response to be like, this does this. And I'm just, she honestly thought I paid $300 for the gamepad itself, and it and it attached to the Wii.
Yeah.
Like that's, and she's like,
they
well,
shouldn't
that's,
have put Wii in the title.
She's like, that's dumb. But, I didn't have that initial hook, but now, a couple weeks out, she's played more Wii U than I have because of that gamepad, because she's a multitasker when she watches TV. She's always on her iPad doing email or playing games or whatever, and now she's playing Mario Twins, and
they look the same.
Like, I don't know. There's something about that the gamepad is accessible. Like it may not have the instant understanding or the instant appeal that the Wii did, but there is some broad appeal there that surprised me.
Cole, is your lady playing the Mario Bros?
She is, but she refuses to play on the gamepad. She likes the old Wii controller, so
I think
she's a little. She might be a little intimidated by it, maybe. But I don't know. I think she likes the feeling of the Wii controller.
But she played a ton of New Super Mario Bros. Wii, correct? So she got used to that controller?
Yeah, and that's another thing. She is used to that play style and doesn't have to learn something new.
It had been a while since my lady had played a Mario game, so she was ready to jump right in.
Kylie's playing it way more than me, too. This has turned into the girlfriend machine. it's the girlfriend experience. So
that's sexism. That's sexism.
You know what? Didn't somebody say that?
Yeah.
In Borderlands 2, that's sexism.
Yeah.
Girlfriend mode.
Yeah, that's it. Girlfriend mode. Well, guess what? Like, science shows data that proves that's correct. So, I don't know what I'm talking about. So Kylie's playing it, and she was doing the same thing. She wouldn't play with the gamepad, because the controls felt different. And then it was football time, and I'm like, well, hey, I'm, you know,
football's on.
I'm sorry, but like, we're gonna put on Red Zone, and I just said, don't worry, just play on the gamepad. She's like, what do I have to do? And I said, look down at the screen. And it was just like this moment of like. Where I had this like, and I had a little raised eyebrow, like, and I thought it was so clever, and that wasn't quite that simple. You actually had to switch the control mode because she started control modes with the Wiimote,
right?
So she's playing on the, and the screen is great. Like, it's only like a 480p screen, But man, it is the best quality 480 screen I've ever seen.
I've caught myself really looking down and playing more than sometimes looking at the TV. Like last night, I was sitting 10 feet away from my TV and was playing Mario, but on the gamepad, like looking at the gamepad, because I felt like I had a better fidelity of how I could jump and land jumps and stuff. Yeah. But another thing real quick is if you just set up the gamepad on a stand, you could play with the Wii remote on the gamepad.
Yeah, which I was trying to figure out a way for her to do, but it was, we were going to need like an extra TV tray, and it was like, I'm like, just play on the phone gamepad. Just do it. And like the D-pad's bigger and better. Like just do it. Yeah. And she did. And you don't have to like flip the controller in the air just to do the spin.
But you still can.
You can, but you know, don't.
You can press R.
That's silly. Yeah.
So this has been a big hit in the household, not only with a girlfriend, but with her daughter. Four-year-old. We've been playing Scribble Knots, and but I kind of realized that we might have something here when I left the room and Megan was playing on the gamepad while watching whatever, and I was probably off playing whatever I was playing, and then I came back like an hour or two later, and I noticed Megan had like left her position on the couch, like where she'd just been, and then I looked over and she's on the couch closest to the TV because she's got the gamepad plugged in because it'd run out of charge.
Battery died.
But that didn't stop her. So I was like, I was pretty happy with the purchase at that point. But you know, more than just me is going to get use out of this one.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's getting play. But now, let's speak to that. Like, so obviously you've had some experience, Justin. But Cole, have you run into battery issues? Because you know, everyone's bitching about the battery.
Not really. I keep, you know, a pretty good eye on it, and it doesn't bother me. Like I have a plug that's really close to my couch, so it's not an issue.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about that. It's not like you have to plug it in. It comes with a separate power supply. So you could actually set that up closer to you wherever you're playing.
Yeah, ours is next. It's like at the back of the living room. Huh. So we have it, you know, and that's where the stand is. And a couple times I've seen Kylie's had to plug it in. Although when the battery is getting low, light comes on, you actually still have a while.
Yeah.
It comes on a little bit early, I think.
And I haven't really had an issue. Like it's lasted a long time for me. I've noticed. So
I mean, does 3.5 to 4 hours sound right though?
Yeah. And that's probably right. But I don't play. I haven't played Mario for that long a stretch either. So
I found it was a little bit, it was closer to 3 hours with an intense zombie U session, which uses the gamepad pretty heavily, and is also more of a game that I'm willing to have a longer stretch of time with than, you know, I come into Mario and some of the eShop games in short bursts. So at that time, I don't really notice the limits of the battery. But if I were to play some longer games, like I'm picturing a Zelda session on this, that could be an issue. But like you said, you can position the power, so the plug as conveniently as possible.
Yeah, sure. What about your online experiences? Anybody have anything to say about that, positive or negative?
I like Miiverse.
Miiverse is awesome. It's so stupid, but it's awesome.
I mean, Miiverse is basically an integrated
Twitter
message board.
Yeah.
Message boards / Twitter. Because it's they say like, oh, it's a social network kind of thing, but it's really, most of the time you see with the equivalent of tweets, like on your home screen or in a game on the gamepad screen on a map or whatever, they'll just like pop up like tweets. There's a username and there's a little message, and they're like, I've never seen one inappropriate or too stupid. I mean, half the time they're awesome drawings. Like you can type something.
I can't believe how many people are drawing such awesome things, dude. It's crazy. It's so crazy. There's some awesome Batman ones.
What? I haven't seen Batman. For what?
Yeah.
Arkham City.
Oh shit! Yeah, oh, that's not that's that never pops up on my screen.
It always pops up on my screen.
That's weird. Okay, so there's that, but then you can also just go open up the Miiverse app directly, and then from there you can pick any application that it'll run. So you can any game, but you could also just do like the YouTube app and go to its message board. And it's just like you just scroll, and here's just a stream of all the comments. And there's like a spoiler tag you can put on your stuff, and you can also get like upvoted. It's a not a like, it's a
So
it's It's which,
and you can respond to their message directly.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah,
yeah. Or I've had people do it to my messages.
It's
It's silly. It's awesome.
It is.
It's silly, but and it's great. Like the way people are using it, especially in games that nobody's played, like Funky Barn and
yeah.
the dance game. Like there's some hilarious shit going on in there.
It is super silly, and I don't know
how long it'll last.
Like how long I'll give a shit about any of that stuff.
That's a better point.
But like you can say that about most of the stuff Nintendo's done in the last, you know, 6-7 years, and you can just say like, well, you know, whatever. But the thing is, I find myself looking at it. I find myself looking at it and going like, hey, that's kind of fun. And when like Kylie's playing, she'll look down and go like, oh, and she'll see something somebody says and like she'll see one of you guys or, you know, and there's strangers on there. But then when one of you guys are on there, she goes, oh, look, it's cool. And, you know, and she'll take note of it. And then there's times where she goes through like a really tough stage and she'll be like, I better make a note here in case someone else has trouble. And like, you know,
yeah,
like,
that's cool.
Like average per, like, I think like, well, how many people really like, well, you know what? I mean, a lot of like casual players, like, yeah, like it might kind of be nice if you're just really struggling. If you're again, super casual kind of player, you know, like super hardcore. You could get some tips. Like you could actually use that and go like, how the heck do I beat this? And then somebody has a little spoiler thing and it goes, jump on this. It's like they draw like, here's a pipe and here's a block to the right of it and jump on that. And you'll know like, oh shit, I know where that was at. And you go and do that. And you've been,
I used one of your hot tips last night.
Really?
Yeah. What Tiny Mario.
That was Kylie.
Okay.
You should tell her that
tip.
Because she's going to, she would be very happy to know that somebody.
Well, she needs to get her own, Nintendo.
I know, but she already started on my save game. She's not starting over because the way she plays, she will not continue to another level until she's gotten all 3 star coins.
That sounds like my wife. Who's playing it right now, actually? I could hear it.
That's awesome. So,
was there cursing?
Yeah, it's really useful, and I love the way it's integrated into Mario Twins. Like, just the way, like, people show up and.
My one issue with it, just as far as like telling,
you guys are all calling it Mario Twins, by the way, like just nonchalant, and I wonder if, like, just so you know, these guys really think it's Mario Twins. Go ahead.
But being able to tell when your friends are online, that's kind of, I have to dig a little bit too far for that, and I want like shortcuts to send you guys messages. Like you really have to, like I never feel like
that might come.
Wait a minute. Don't friends that are online, don't they show up in the middle of your little Mii Plaza thing on the home screen?
I thought that was just no, I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. If you flip that to the gamepad, can you tap on their Mii?
I don't know.
Talk to them that way?
I don't know.
Because if so, there's a button that you can hit to flip because the Miiverse, like your Wii menu is on the gamepad by default when you fire it up and the big, you know, the Mii Plaza thing is on the TV and you get a button to flip the screens. Mm-hmm. And if, I mean, you may be able to like tap on me and send a message. Oh.
Yeah.
Which is pretty convenient. Like, that's pretty handy.
Ethan.
But if you're
tap on me.
But if you're in game, it's just like I'm not getting the alerts that I'm used to. I'm big. I know you turn your alerts off on your Xbox.
Yeah, I don't want
to
know
leave those on and check in on what people are doing. But and everything's just a couple extra menu clicks away, and
the menu's kind of slow.
And it's slow.
It doesn't piss me off, but it's there.
It might after a while. And then, but I will say that's counteracted with how useful the actual, the home menu is, that it really does suspend your game. And I felt like, like at first, like, you hit the home button and it brings up like your friends list and Miiverse and a couple other options. Mm-hmm. I think you could even go to the eShop through it.
Yeah. And the browser.
Yeah. Browser. Yeah. And so
the browser is actually pretty good. I've used it a few times to get some hints in Mario. Yeah.
It's the best browser on a non dedicated computer or like regular tablet.
Yeah, I mean, it plays like YouTube videos and everything.
Way better than the Xbox or PlayStation 3. Yeah.
And then
browsers.
You go into those apps, and the first time I clicked one, I was like, oh shit, it like canceled out my game. But no, your game's still.
Yeah.
Once you close all that out, you'll go right back to it. So that's implemented really well.
Yeah.
I just wish it was a little bit speedier.
And it could come in the future too. They could speed that up, hopefully.
Yeah. That's the one area though that I just. As far as like interface improvements and kind of updates to the operating system, I don't have the highest confidence that Nintendo will do that, but I'm happy, you know.
I think they can, and I hope they do. But yeah, you're right. I don't have super.
Well, in the meantime, listen to their kick-ass music while everything
they
loads.
They do have the best damn. And shout out to DJ Cutman, who put together the Wii U
so
Grooves
good.
Soundtrack, or the album on Bandcamp. You can listen to the whole thing. You can buy it. It's awesome. He's remixed all the tracks, and Nintendo makes some sweet grooves, especially when they got a good beat to them. Did you guys buy anything off the eShop yet?
No, I have not.
I bought Mighty Switch Force, and it took an hour to download for like a 50 or 500 megabyte file, and I haven't played it yet. But
I downloaded...
I want to play Chasing Aurora with friends, though.
Yeah, me too.
Is that local only?
Yes. And so is Mario, Super Mario U. That is as well, and I think that's a missed opportunity. But maybe that might be too much. I mean, Mario is way more like Twitch platformy than any other online platformer I've played. I mean, maybe I'm missing something, but a lot of games have a little bit looser, sloppier physics.
Did you buy one of the bigger ones?
Bought Zombie U on the eShop, and man, most of the games are available on eShop, and even the ones that aren't, the third party stuff that isn't. A lot of that is going. They say it's coming.
Yeah.
And so at some point here, you're going to be able to buy just about everything off the eShop, which is great. And I have a hard drive. I have a 1 terabyte hard drive plugged into my Wii U. It stores everything. Like automatically, my save games and everything went to that.
That's awesome.
Is great because I could clone that to another drive if I wanted to. And I mean, you know, for on a low level, and it would work. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, it didn't take me that long to download. And that was a big, you know, it used more of my bandwidth, I feel like, from the Zombie U download. I don't know what that means, but it seemed like it was actually a little faster than the system update was at the beginning. You know, I don't know who's responsible for all that bandwidth, but it worked great, you know, and I love that you can just plug in any storage and it just uses it.
Yeah, that was a great decision on their part.
Have either of you tried to transfer from the Wii yet?
Mm-mm.
I haven't done that yet.
No,
I heard that's.
I want to keep my stuff on my Wii because that's still.
I'm so disappointed in that.
I think I'll do it when I know that they can sync up my accounts if they're going to head in that direction. I still.
I'm disappointed in the method that you have to do that.
The Wii mode stuff, having like to launch an app that like then boots like the generic Wii stuff. I don't like that.
And it doesn't work on the gamepad, does it?
Nope.
No,
see, I don't
my
like
dream
that
of like
that's
I want to play all my virtual console games on the gamepad. That's my draw.
Yeah,
make that's that right. happen now.
Whatever. I'll still use the Wii for like the some of the you know emulator stuff because like the homebrew for like Super NES games and stuff. But also, I'm just using Dolphin now for my Wii games. There's only a handful I'm gonna play in the going forward, and I'm just gonna do them upscaled. They'll look awesome. So, Ethan, do you have any questions about the Wii U hardware?
Still awake?
No, not really at all. Actually, it sounds nice. You guys sound like you're having a lot of fun.
I was expecting so nice neat. Of you. I was expecting him to say neat.
I usually say neat.
Are you interested at all in the Zombie U? Being like
no,
a zombie
it looks
game
awful.
Oh
really?
My God.
Wow. Shut up.
Did you watch
Absolutely.
Our stream?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it looks bad.
You thought
it
was
does.
Terrible?
It looks bad.
I don't know.
It just doesn't look great. Maybe I not
it's
awful.
Resident
it just
Evil.
Doesn't look great. It doesn't look like it's. I don't know. It's not goofy enough for me.
I don't know, dude. It's pretty.
There's a level of goofiness. I feel like it's almost taking itself a little bit too seriously.
I think you'd love it, man. It's fucking survival horror and. It's when's the last time you played a good survival horror game? Like,
it's like Condemned with zombies and permadeath,
dude. Mm. It's okay to want to play that game. You don't have to buy a Wii U. You can.
I would. No. Okay, let me phrase it this way. If I didn't have to buy a Wii U, that game might be interesting.
No one's asking you to buy one.
You are asking me to buy one.
Didn't?
No. We asked if you're interested in Zombie.
I'm
no.
just kidding.
What if it was? What if they put out Zombie X or Zombie P?
Zombie P, no. Zombie X, that is like Mountain Dew shit. So yes, you know that's extreme stuff. No. I'm being an asshole with that. I think Zombie U, out of any of the games, looks the most interesting to me. Mm. I just. Don't want a Nintendo console. I feel like so let down by the Wii U. I feel like, or by the Wii, excuse me. I feel like I jumped in on it. It had that gimmick. And I'm being a little bit racist against gimmicks. And I'll be honest with you. I'm racist against two things, orcs and gimmicks. And the Wii let me down. It really did. I really thought this was going to be a huge, exciting experience. I thought it was going to bring a lot of people together. And to me, I'm happy to hear what you guys are saying about your significant others, because I think that is probably something that maybe my wife would enjoy But I don't play games because my wife is going to like them. I want something that's going to get me really fucking pumped up. And then if she likes it, you know, it's cool. It's on the side.
I like to play games with her. And if we're going to, if I have to buy a Wii U in order to make that happen, that's great. And and the Wii and the Wii U are like gateway systems. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like playing co-op games on the Wii, that's how we started out. And since then, we've played a shit ton of Diablo and Terraria and Torchlight and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, Aubrey will never play any of those games.
Well, maybe you should get a Wii U.
I feel like the Wii was a better... I will say this. I didn't love the Wii, but I feel like just based on what the Wii had, it was a better gateway system. It just... It had what I think is a better gimmick, a more... I don't know, maybe universally appealing gimmick than what the Wii U has. Like, I'm still not, like, I'm looking at that whole, you know, the controller, and it looks great. And for, you know, for gamers and for people that are really into it, I think Nintendo has taken the step up in terms of, like, really working with the harder core audience, if, you know, however you want to describe that. But I'm still not sold on it. I'm not.
Every time everybody asks me how it is, like, I love it for what it is, and, like, it's fitting into my family situation, great, but it's not something I can just wholeheartedly recommend to everybody.
Like, if you guys were more excited about it, maybe that's the thing. Like, if you guys were pumped, pumped. Like, I look to you guys on game. Like, if I have a question about something and you guys are like, dude, no, shut the fuck up, buy this, I'm in. Like, I'm in. But I've yet to feel that from you guys or from anybody, really, because I feel like everyone's kind of dancing around, like, the Wii U. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like everyone's kind of like, oh, it's nice for what it's doing.
Well, not blowing anyone. Considering, if you probably go back and listen to my comments like 6 months ago, you know, like that's probably a compliment though coming from me. I don't know about these guys.
Absolutely, but I'm not at a point right now with a console that I want to just be like entertained,
dude,
by it.
Okay, but
I want to be blown away.
Okay,
I want to be blown away.
Okay, all right, blown away, not necessarily blown. Like, a little bit, maybe.
I don't want to nip at the tip. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying here.
Well, that's where it comes back to playing with our significant others. Value.
Yeah. No, I mean,
wait, what are we talking about
cool.
again?
I mean, that is cool. But I think I think it's definitely a situational piece.
Hey.
For you guys, it works perfectly fine. For me, my wife will never play video games with. Maybe this is, you know what? Maybe this is about me. Maybe it's not you, Wii U.
I still think you have to find something in it for yourself when you're making that purchase. I feel like what ended up pushing me over the edge was, yes, I know I'm going to get the Nintendo first party games. That's fine.
Yeah. I know you're going to get it anyway.
But the big thing was the promise of the gamepad and the eShop and the fact that they've broken down some barriers for indie developers. Mm-hmm. And I really think they're going to follow through on that. Then Zombie U was the icing on the cake for me as far as I found a game that I really enjoy. And the fact that Megan and Lily have taken to it, that's just a bonus.
Yeah. And I know that this is the time I'm finally going to give Monster Hunter the real college try. I'm like, I'm actually going to give Monster Hunter a go. And with the Wii U, like, I'm like, Monster Hunter in HD on a TV. Like, that is the way I would want to play that. I don't I didn't like Monster Hunter on PSP. Handheld Monster Hunter didn't appeal to me.
Didn't try it on Wii?
No. I did not play try. But I'm hoping it's going to have online multiplayer, so I'm hoping that you guys are going to get it too, and that we can do at least a 3-man squad. I think that'd be fun. It's kind of, you know, 4 players. I like the idea of Monster Hunter.
I'll play.
You buy me a Wii U, I'll play Monster Hunter.
All right.
That'll be our next fundraiser. Ethan's going to play something stupid for 24 hours. If we raise enough money, we'll buy him a Wii U.
I'll do anything if we raise enough money for charity.
I'm already in the planning process since I started talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the game discussions, and I'm sure we'll put some Wii U games in here, but we'll also get into some other stuff. I don't want to blow the big load all up front. So Ethan, I'm going to wait on you for a minute here, because you and I have played one of the hottest games of the year. We'll talk about that in a second. Cole, though, let's talk about some. Let's talk about some Tendo tapes.
Okay. So we started off with New Super Mario Brothers U. That was my purchase when I got the console. And obviously it came with Nintendo Land. I'll talk about that too. But wrote a review of New Super Mario Brothers, and I love it. It's New Super Mario Brothers, which is a 2D side scroller. If you don't know what kind of game it is, this is coming from someone who played the mediocre 3DS version that came out this year.
I forgot you actually did play that.
Yeah, and I still haven't even finished it, but I'm maybe 14 to 15 hours deep in New Super Mario Brothers.
Jeez.
Which is a lot. I kind of just zoomed through it. I don't do the Kylie or Gar method of can't go through the level until you get all three coins. I zoom through and then go back and get all three coins.
Yeah, honestly, I thought I was kind of tracking with you, like, based on your Miiverse comments. I was like, oh, Cole and I are kind of pushing through this game. I think maybe the first night we're about the same spot, and I came back like a couple days later and fucking Cole's beat the game.
It's really satisfying. And it is absolutely gorgeous. Like, that's the thing that jumps out at me.
It looks really good.
It looks amazing. Like, when you get to a castle level, each world has a castle level where you fight a Bowser kid, and just seeing the detail that they put in on the Bowser kids on the ship is really nice. And, like I said earlier, I've been playing a lot on the gamepad, even though it's just, I can have it on the TV, but sometimes it just feels more comfortable to play it on that smaller screen, depending on where I'm sitting in my living room.
It definitely has like an aesthetic that's almost in between Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario World.
Yeah, and I was going to say too, so much of this game feels like a love letter to Mario 3. Mm. And Mario World as well. But almost
it's
just
in between
by
both of them.
Extension
it's the
only.
It's prequel to Mario World.
Yeah.
Yoshi's timeline's all screwed up. That's fine.
There's everything. And these... I'm not going to say spoilers.
It's not spoilers.
Okay, so they've got a fucking airship level.
Yeah. Whoa, bro.
Yeah.
You just fucking spoiled that
I know. And you know what?
The music is great.
When you play it, you're not going to care because you're going to be like, oh, I'm 10. Oh! And you're going to feel like Jimmy Woods... they do the music. When you're fighting the Koopa kids, they have the music from Mario 3. Like, there's all these little touches where it's almost like it's like the dudes. I'm assuming this is kind of the same crew that made Mario World Wii, New Super Mario Wii, right?
Yeah, probably.
No one disputes it.
Because it's the successor. It's definitely the successor to that. Like,
right.
It's a the 3DS team. Games are their own thing,
right?
And
right.
The Wii games are their own thing.
And so it's almost like the guys, like they brought in. They were like, okay, you know what? We need. Let's bring in some like 50-year-old guys that worked on the original games, and like they came in and were like, this game needs some airships and some giant Goombas and some little Koopa kids.
Yeah.
And a cool overworld map. And some secret ghost house exits.
And the Yoshi.
And Yoshi.
And Jim Gaffigan impression.
And so all this, you know, like just all this shit is thrown in there. I mean, it is like the kitchen sink hits you in the face within like the first 5 minutes of this game. You're like, fuck, this got everything. The squirrel suit thing is basically the cape.
Yeah, and you get like a pea acorn instead of like a pea wing
Although,
to continuously fly.
How do you do it? How do you fly?
You just keep pressing R or shake the remote.
Oh.
Because you know how you zoom up when you hit that button? You just continuously do that.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I didn't try.
I'm glad I like this game. I'm worried.
It's great.
It's so great.
It's great. It's like... You know, not to shit on my childhood, but to me, this might be like the best Mario game.
Whoa!
Like 2D Mario game.
Huh. Okay. I'm not ready to pass judgment yet, but.
I mean, I loved 3.
Really? Would you like to talk about
3?
Awesome. I wish I'd played enough to combat him either way on this.
I've seen a lot of it.
I saw that moment in your eyes where you're like, I'm not sure what direction I should go in with this. But now, fuck you, Josh.
There's like more to the game than either of those games, which doesn't mean that's better, but. Like, it does all the stuff that those games did well, I think. I think this has more diverse level design than any of the other titles. And, and I think that's a good thing, because I think when they do deviate a little bit and they do something new, and there's constantly, as you play that game, constantly new shit gets thrown at you. Enemies, like little, not like control mechanics, but like level mechanics and the, you know, the way platforms move and all that stuff. I mean, and it is not an easy game. Now, if you're playing it just to get to the end, that's one thing. But like, but I really do believe that those, since New Mario Wii, the way to play those games is to like collect the star coins, because that's the only way you see everything in the game.
Those are hard to find. It makes sense. I mean, it's
never
it makes
that
sense
out of
the
reach.
Level.
It's not that. Yeah. And nothing they do like feels like they didn't think about it really hard. I feel right. I think it's a really well designed game. I cannot believe when I hear people bashing this. Other reviewers and stuff. I'm like, what in the? You are some jaded motherfuckers. Yeah, how the hell do you not enjoy this game? Because and some people, I think they're jaded because they played the 3DS one and they didn't like it. You played that and you can still recognize because you're a grown ass man.
Yeah. Right? Got my grown man shirt on.
Yeah.
I was going to say, even somebody that's been kind of like anti Wii U, I have noticed are people trying to intentionally hate this shit? Yeah. That is the one thing. From my experience, I don't like the Wii U because I didn't love the Wii and it disappointed me. But like, it's almost like, dude, what the hell? Like, is this like a popularity thing now? Like, oh, we should probably not like this based on, oh, it's Mario, but it's not as good as the last Mario. It's like, it's kind of fucked up.
The only thing I'll say is they've leaned really heavily on the new Super Mario Brothers games lately. And yeah, there might be one too many, but I think I was kind of reassured by the fact that even if you consider the 3DS game a step back, that they were still able to, they can still make a solid game. Like,
well, and it's got to be two totally different teams.
Like this didn't feel lazy, I don't think. Like, that's one thing.
Inventive, yeah.
Yeah, and you could maybe say that about like two out of the other three.
Here's the honest thing. The honest thing is the one thing I'm jealous of in reference to the Wii U is the fact that I don't have that same feeling that I did expecting a new Mario game. I haven't played a Mario game for a really long time, and I remember how I felt when Super Nintendo Super Mario World came out, and you saw Super Mario 3, you saw Super Mario World, and you kept going from there. And like, that is one thing that I'm definitely missing out on, and I'm just like, man, people like want to hate. It's hipster shit. I'm sorry, I don't want to get back to the hipster shit, but people don't like Mario because it's fucking Mario.
I like your hipster impression better than Josh's, for the record.
Here's my hipster impression. I suck.
That's pretty good.
That's all I got, because that's all it is.
I do have
a mini keg.
All right, so
what else? Mario's
so
good.
Still going to talk about Mario, because there is these challenge levels that are pretty great.
The other modes.
Yeah, there are other modes for the first time, I think, in a Mario game. Besides, the 3DS version had a Coin Rush mode, and then they had that Mario Brothers mode in Super Mario Brothers 3, I think. But the challenges are great. Basically, there's different ones, like a time trial, fly through the level without landing on the ground, just kind of variations of that.
Yeah.
And some of them are really challenging. Like, they have, you know, their gold, silver, bronze medals for times and different things. And later on, like, the harder they're ranked by how many stars they are. So 1 star is the easiest, 5 stars is the hardest. And they get really tough. And it's a good way. Like, I can see, like, all of us sitting on a couch passing the controller trying to beat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're quick hits. They're really quick hits.
Yeah, and it... God, it just, to me, it feels like an old school Nintendo experience. Like, it like a deluxe version of that, really. The controls are tight and all that stuff. Maybe it's just timing for me. It might just be that.
I was thinking the same thing, honestly, it's been long enough from a great Mario experience for me that I was ready for it.
Yeah. And it's too bad if you don't fit into that slot.
Yeah.
But guess what? The game's still going to be great in a couple of years. So whenever you're ready to play some Mario again, instead of putting in, you know, whatever old Mario game you thought you were going to play, instead try this one, because you might discover that this is exactly what you needed. And you can still do the co-op stuff. Like, and that stuff is fun. Like, it makes it almost a different game. It doesn't, like, ruin the game. It can help, or it can also just be, if, like, you get a bunch of people that are really good, it won't make it harder to, like, beat the levels and to get the stuff, but what it'll do is make these, every little jump, every platform jump, everything you do is almost a little competition. You're like, oh, I gotta get in front, or I gotta get on top of this guy, bounce off him before he jumps on me, and, like, those kinds of little things. Like, there's a lot of asshole potential with the co-op in this game, just like the Wii version had. But in this one, I think there's more opportunities for it to actually be helpful than in the last one.
Question for Cole, since Josh has already kind of laid his stake down here. New Super Mario Brothers U or Super Mario 3D Land for you?
I'm going to go with U.
Okay.
I think 3D Land is really great and very inventive in some of the levels they make, but I think the first half of the game is way too easy. Which I understand why it is that, because it's a new play style with a new kind of perspective. But I think that it might hurt the overall package, where I think from the get-go in New Super Mario Brothers U, there's definitely some challenge.
Sure.
Just curious.
Yeah. And then one more thing. I don't know if you guys have done the boost mode at all, where one person's playing with the Wii controller and then the other person is playing on the gamepad. Like I mentioned before, my wife likes to play with the Wii remote. And so...
Will she hit her own boost blocks while she's playing by herself?
No, she won't.
Because Skylar will do that. Oh, yeah. There's a jump that's just, like, impossible to do because she doesn't have the right thing. Uh-huh. She'll, like, look down the screen and she'll, like, jump and then put the blocks underneath her as she jumps straight up.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. No, yeah, the way
never,
she does it.
She never thought about that, and I never thought about that, but I'm like, that's brilliant. I helped play with, I helped her on a couple levels. And then last night, actually, there was this one level with flying beetles, the whole level, and then there's this tube you have to get to, and it's really hard. And she's like, "Let me pick up the gamepad. I'll put a little platform there for you, and you'll get there." So she did that, and that was pretty cool.
Let me level one little complaint about it, and then I swear we'll move on here. The game. Why can't in multiplayer someone play with the gamepad?
I know that sucks.
Why not? Someone tell me. I'm sure there's something I haven't thought of. That's what I keep telling myself.
I don't know why I can't play with the pro controller too. But
oh yeah,
yeah,
did
yeah.
You get one?
What the?
Not yet, but because I read that, I was like, I guess I don't need one yet.
I haven't seen one in the stores yet. They've already been sold out. Mm. All right, so I guess I'll stay with Nintendo for now. Nintendo Land. It's the game that comes with the deluxe version of the Wii U. It's definitely not Wii Sports. Because I'm already kind of bored of it. Let me back up. It's a collection of mini games. I think there are 12 mini games. And there's only three that you have to play multiplayer. The rest are, you can play single player. Mm-hmm. And maybe it hasn't been, cause I've only played two player on some of them, that it hasn't been that big of a good experience for me. But the single player games are kind of boring, except for I have a lot of fun with the Donkey Kong game, and it's extremely hard. Basically it's a tilt control game where you're this like pyramid. You're like a car with an egg at the top, and if you crack your egg, you lose.
Yeah, just like in Donkey Kong.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really enjoy the Donkey Kong game, but pretty much everything else I could take or leave. I haven't had a lot of fun with the other thing. And my wife and I have played the Luigi's Mansion one and the...
Mario
Mario Chase. And it would be fun with four players. It's just not compelling with two. I'm not ready to give up on it until I give, four players or five players. But right now, it's definitely staying outside of the console.
I can't believe that is a $60 game if you bought the basic unit.
Yeah, that's insane.
What the hell?
You'll make the profit.
The music is great, though.
It's just true. It's weird. That's really weird.
It's also on the Cutman album.
I've been listening to the music a lot, yeah, on the DJ Cutman album, but yeah.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I played each single player game once, and I mean, it didn't even keep a 4-year-old's like attention just from the action on screen, and I was annoyed with it. I thought that I kind of liked the fact that on the racing game with F-Zero guy, Captain Falcon, you hold the gamepad vertically, like basically you look at the gamepad and you've got the top down view of the racetrack, and it tells you do not look at the TV. The TV looks like F-Zero, but look at the gamepad. And you steer with the gamepad while you're holding it vertically, from the top down view, and it was kind of like, oh, that's kind of novel, but I don't really like this at the same time. So
that doesn't sound fun.
So I've just kind of resolved to kind of pack the game away until I have 4 or 5 people I want to play with, because then I'll be happy I have it. But I can't even, like, this isn't something where I honestly had this debate of do I bring the Wii U with me to Thanksgiving, and will Nintendo Land have that appeal? And I was like, no, not with that my family. I just knew that it wouldn't click, and it would just be more of a hassle to try to explain how this thing was different. And that was kind of a bump in the road.
Sounds like some of the choices that Nintendo made in designing it, some of the games is kind of crazy, where you have no progression and you have to start over every
time. Isn't this really the E3 tech demo in a polished package?
I mean, this should be free. Like, you don't charge for this. I think these are good demos to see, like, this is what's possible, but none of them. And honestly, I'm more annoyed by the presentation of building this theme park or whatever you're doing by earning coins in this game, like that whole presentation and like the monitor chick that's following you around and talking. I was just, shut up. I just wanted to like play this game, see if I like it. And everything was just kind of getting in my way because they wanted to make this like more produced package to justify selling it versus give me, like, just show me how to use the eShop by making me download these games. But wait,
some of the look looks good. I mean, some of the looks that they have in the game look good, like the puppetish Zelda. Yeah. Or the Little Big Planet of Zelda, it looks good, but it didn't.
Take a step back here. Now, if they had packed in another like a Wii Sports thing that used the gamepad plus, you know, like it was the 5-player thing, the asynchronous, you know, multiplayer stuff, and somebody's using the gamepad to, you know, like catch fly balls or whatever, like they showed at E3, that kind of stuff. You know, little like Golden Tee style action or whatever it is, like all that different kinds of stuff. They showed like golf and baseball and shit like that at E3. I mean, they had some Wii Sports type activities there. I mean, had they said like Wii Sports U, I think that makes a whole bunch more people, like the casuals, go and like actually be interested in that and be like, we should pick that up. It's the new Wii Sports thing. Cause so many people played nothing but Wii Sports like ever or for the longest time.
That's true. But for me personally, that's not compelling.
Well, like, I know you and I don't care. I mean, we'd rather just have another Metroid or something, but we don't, you know, since we can't get what we want, if they're just going to have like a little janky mini game collection, at least make it the one that's going to fucking sell. Not this. It's just weird. It's just weird. Yeah. It's a weird thing.
If you're going to have, you know, Wii Sports is a franchise that they have, throw it in there as well.
Right. You could put some of these mini games in there as like little, you know, $2 things in the eShop or something, you know, or whatever, some little cheap things and let people buy it like that separate. Like you open the Nintendo Land app and then in-app purchases or something like that to open up the other theme parks like that. There's like a lot of things they could have done. I think it'd have been better than just this being the pack-in, weird pack-in. In hindsight, I don't know. They thought they had something, I guess, but they didn't.
Then again, spent extra $50 just to have a black console.
Yeah.
And then staying with Nintendo real quick before I move on to something different. I downloaded Josh's favorite Zelda game, Zelda 2, on the 3DS the other day, and it's Zelda 2. It's perfectly emulated. It's hard as hell, and I still like it. So.
Speaking of Zelda 2, did you get Adventure Time for the 3DS?
No,
I didn't buy that yet.
No. I heard it's really short. Real short.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard it. So, yeah.
I think Aaron played it. But I've heard it's like less than 6 hours, so
But I heard it's a joy to play if you like Adventure Time.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of indifferent to Adventure Time because I don't really know that much about it, so I don't know if I'd like it that much.
It's pretty good. You should check it out. It's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So then there was a Xbox Live sale last week of Black Friday, so I jumped back into Xbox Live after taking it a few months off. And first thing I do is download Dust and Elysian Tale.
Good job.
And played about, I don't know, 4 hours straight while I was doing laundry on Friday. That is a fantastic game.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's really well voice acted. It's beautiful. The action is stimulating and not
Both Justin and I feel really stupid for not continuing to play that game.
Yeah, it's
it was a bad time. It came at a bad time for us.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's really good.
Need to finish it.
Yeah, it's I just passed the first boss. Maybe an hour the first boss or so.
I've heard recent buzz, just people throwing it in like story of the year category too. Like that.
God damn it. See, you have to finish it to weigh in on that.
Yeah.
It's like Spec Ops.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I feel like this might be the game that I white knight at our Game of the Year discussions.
Bring it on.
It's really great.
If you can distract Josh with this, I can sneak in The Walking Dead a little bit higher on the list.
I'm kind of on Josh's team for that.
Ah! Suck it, Lacey.
Because it's not a great game. It's a great story.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, really?
Stop.
Whatever.
I played the demo. Never. I had enough of it.
It's a Telltale game. Do you like those? Because that's what it is.
Anyway, back to Dust. And I know there was a lot of furor over the furry aspect of the game, and Fear I think that's furry. Ridiculous. Like, we've played games with silly characters before, like
Star Fox,
Sonic.
Oh, every video shit. Game. You just ruined my childhood. Am I a furry? Dude, I like both those games.
Mario had a raccoon tail for a while there.
Well, yeah, definitely different kind of animals.
And I always wondered why I got a boner when I got, you know, that little fucking leaf. So, yeah, now I know. I'm a furry. Yeah, so we all figured that out tonight.
I think
boner
that
leaf. That's what this power was called, boner leaf.
The people up in arms over that shit is kind of like the ridiculous hipsters that are pissed about THQ.
I was going to say, those are the exact same people. It's like, as soon as you can like associate something with something, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I have an opinion on this. I want to get people's attention. I mean, it's nuts. I haven't played that game, but I defend it because I like animals who speak like humans and walk like humans and have genitalia like humans. That doesn't make me a furry. Does it?
No. I mean, if you can't get past that to play a good game, you're an idiot.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't like that aesthetic, but it's well done artwork, and the game's great, and it didn't stop me from playing and enjoying.
Well, and one fucking dude did it. Am I wrong on that? One guy did this.
It's a dude.
So you're gonna sit and you're gonna be like, oh, the art style, I don't know, that's kind of a strange thing. Now go F yourself.
What does it have to be like your thing?
Ethan.
What if everybody looks like if everyone's made out of trucks? You may just be like, you know what, I don't really like trucks. I think they're gas guzzling. I don't like their carbon profile. Like but you know what? It's a great game.
I hate dualies.
I'm just saying, as somebody who just doesn't really like that style, you know, the human, you know, looking animal people, like, that's just not my thing. That doesn't, just because I don't masturbate to it doesn't mean I don't like that. I can't enjoy the game.
But here's
that's
my question
point.
To you: like, have you tried?
Are you trashing me because I don't like it? Like, you can't say, like, you know, no. I don't want, you know,
like, have you tried?
Like,
you can't knock it till you rock it, I guess, is maybe like the saying that people have.
That's
like, just
try
to
that's
masturbate
the,
to
that's
it.
The first test. If I'm gonna review a game, I didn't review this.
Here's what
so
we'll do, Josh.
I
when I get back into town,
to
here's what we're gonna
wait,
do.
Wait. So
we're gonna watch furry porn, and we're gonna see who likes it the most. And I think it's gonna be you.
I saw that on Tosh.0.
What's that? Yeah. Oh. What were you saying?
I was gonna say, so every game you've reviewed, you've gotten close to, basically.
Well, I feel like it's the fair thing to do. I'm not going to talk about it if things, you know, didn't work out, you know, like,
yeah,
but if it did, you know, if things did, I'll let you guys know. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you can get extra pleasure out of this game, you know, it's like a little PLC, you know, download the PLC. All right. All right. So Dust, you're loving it, Cole. How close are you going to beat this before the year's out then?
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool. Yeah, I really want to go back to this at some point. Is it going to happen this year, though, Justin?
For you, no.
Mm.
For me, I'm going to pretend like yes, and then no, it's not going to happen.
All right. We're like way behind here. All right, let's move on to Ethan here. Ethan, talk about some games that get you excited, non-Nintendo games.
Well, take a deep breath, guys.
Are you okay?
About to dive in.
Uh-oh.
Let's dive in deep.
You have 8 minutes. Go.
Oh, fuck. Okay. No, well, here, so, can we start off with Far Cry 3? Is that too much?
Let's do it.
Are we going to front load the beginning?
Don't
here
front load it. Don't front load it.
You want me to, no.
I'm
no.
not going to front load it. No, just because Ethan, Cole said no and Josh said yes. Think,
Cole, Ethan and Cole, everyone.
Don't Gutenberg Far Cry 3. It deserves better than that.
Do what you think is right.
Don't start with the showstopper.
You're fine.
That is true.
It's the show starter for Ethan.
Hey.
I feel like we're going to go. Here's what I'm going to say.
Just talk real about quick. A fucking game.
Sorry. I beat 3 games in the last week, and I want a round of applause.
Hey, nice job.
Games. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't understand what you just said.
So I want to begin with that. I'm shocked. So I finally beat Dead Island.
Wow.
Oh.
Not much to say about it, but I finally beat it.
That's a random one. Random.
I've been goofing around for a long time. I can't believe it still worked over here. It's supposed to be illegal.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Gestapo coming for you.
Can you, too much blood. Can you really say the phrase goofing around in relation to Dead Island with this stupid group?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I was playing really seriously by comparison to you guys. But
you
no, I finally beat that.
By trucks for 2 hours.
Very abrupt ending. Wasn't great. But
it involve,
yeah, enjoyable game.
Zombie death.
I'm looking forward to Riptide.
Yeah, me too.
It's
yeah.
not. It's but you know the funny thing is Justin was very kind and sending me an email. Literally, I had just beat the game, and then I get an email from Justin that says, "Hey, you might want to cover this." And it was Riptide not coming to Germany. So I guess I'm
VPN,
out on that.
VPN.
Yeah, so I get so I can figure that out.
You gotta
so
fight the man.
Saints Row 3, the third, I finally beat that. I put so much time into that, and actually, Nathan and I played last week to record some footage for the Brotabulous.
Did you beat it as Bill and Lance? Like beat the game as Bill and Lance?
I beat the game as Bill. I didn't beat the game as Bill and Lance because Nathan hadn't really put a whole lot of time into it at that point. He put about maybe 15 hours in, which sounds ridiculous that wasn't a lot of time, but yeah. I didn't want to ruin the game for him. Like, he needed to play through it because Saints Row the Third has a horrible ending. It's bad. Like, it's really, really bad.
Really?
The one I picked, at least, was bad. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. That game's not about endings. That game's not about story. It doesn't really matter. But I was shocked about how abrupt it was. So,
But do you agree that Josh should at least get up to the last couple missions? Like, we just played through the Deckers Die.
Yeah, I played so much of that game, and I just don't do missions ever. Yeah. I was playing co-op with you guys, and we just...
The story is so fun.
We just mess around.
There are some really... there's some really good missions in that game. I just think that, like, by the end of it... And here's the thing. Here's how I feel about the game. They didn't need to end it well. They could have ended it even poorly, even shittier than that, and it would have been fine, because that was a great game. Unbelievable game. Game of the century for me at this point. Right?
Best wrestling game in a long time.
Yeah. I was going to say, it definitely has all that. So I was happy about that. So yes, and then Alan Wake. Cole let me borrow
Is that my
Alan
fucking
Wake.
Copy, you asshole?
Actually, no. I actually downloaded it during the Steam sale.
So my copy's sitting in Germany.
So your copy's just sitting here. I'm going to bring it back with me. You've got to fucking remind me, though, because I forget everything. Finally got into Alan Wake, and basically here's how I feel about it at the end of the day. why the hell didn't the people who created Alan Wake create the Resident Evil games after Resident Evil 4?
Yeah. That's good, right? I mean, I loved Alan Wake. I thought it was great.
Alan Wake, you know, Alan Wake was great. I think it was, maybe people will crucify me for that, saying this, but it was almost too long. Yeah. Anybody else get that impression? Yep. It was got to a point where it's like, this is enough. I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with where I was at.
It's been too long for me to have that opinion.
The enemy design is I like the enemies in the beginning, but then after a while, I was like, there's nothing new to it, and I'm really...
You're right. The combat it didn't change enough as you went on.
No, and I think
which
that...
worked from the narrative standpoint, but from that, that's where the gameplay fell flat.
Yeah.
And I guess I kept relating it back to like a Resident Evil where you start out and you have the basic like zombie type guy or the, you know, with them, it was the Taken. And I was expecting something else to come out of it. And I thought the poltergeist and that kind of stuff was really cool. But I stuck with that game just based on the fact that I really liked how it all came together. Too long of an experience, I think. I think that definitely we were talking about horror games a couple weeks ago about how, you know, games can kind of overstay their welcome, and I think that really is a good representation of that, though I don't want to take anything away from Alan Wake, because really great game. Really great game. I think looking at it right now, when it was released, and based on kind of how people feel about those kind of games, took a lot of chances. I mean, I completely missed out on that game when it actually came out, which was like, what, 2010?
Yeah,
a couple of years.
It's been a while.
Years.
Like, I remember finishing that
three,
like, right after it came out, and just having no one to talk to about it, and it really aggravated me because it was. It's a really cool game. It's I agree with you, like all your negative points. The other thing that I kind of knock it for, even though I know it wasn't intending to do this, it's not really a horror game. Like it's you know, it's creepy, but like. I want it to be a horror game, and also like I started out being kind of scared in game, but it only lasted a very short time. Like I was like, I didn't expect this, and by the time I was like getting really engrossed with it, like the game became predictable and not scary, and I was kind of disappointed.
I think overall it was a great experience, and actually I beat it, so that says something about a game. I mean, I don't beat a lot of games.
I did too.
I usually get distracted.
Yeah, me too. And I beat that
because
one.
I have a lot of. I think I have negative things to say about it because I like that genre so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like there was so much more that could have been done with that.
Well, a proper number two would maybe do all those things right. You know, they know that stuff too. You know, like so many times I think that. And people will say this in postmortems and whatnot, that they just didn't have time to make certain things as good as they wanted to. I mean, that just happens.
I had a little bit of time for this one.
That's not fair. That's not entirely fair.
Jumping into American Nightmare, which I got with the Steam sale as well, I kind of saw maybe this progression that was beginning to happen. But wasn't completely realized, and I think there's a lot of potential for that. But I think that I really thought about an Alan Wake 2 and what I want from it. I want a completely different storyline. I don't want the Taken. I don't want any of that kind of stuff. I want him to be a character that is again, going back to our conversation. I want him to be a character that finds himself in a bunch of different sorts of scary situations. Maybe the next
Fox Mulder.
I kind of got an X-Files feel at the end of it. Like, I was kind of like, I want him to be, like, I want to be Alan Wake. I want that scenario to last for maybe 4 hours.
Well, so, if he writes a different book, that's where he'll be, right? I mean.
Exactly.
Like, how about, like, a 50 Shades of Wake? Is that what you.
I want a very sexual book. I want Alan Wake to be just giving it to everybody.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I don't mean with a flashlight. I mean with a fleshlight.
giving it to me on Kinect. Better with Kinect.
But I think that if anybody wants to really do a survival horror type game coming up soon, I think they really need to look at Alan Wake and just take the precedent of that and take the foundation and go from there, because there's a lot of cool shit that could have happened. Mm-hmm. I hate it because Alan Wake is a great game on its own, but I thought about, you take Resident Evil game that kind of lost that kind of edge, and put yourself in a character like Alan Wake, who's just trying to figure his shit out, but also kind of he has that kind of weakness, you know, and that would be a cool ass game, especially with, again, some of those mechanics coming out. So, but again, enjoyable experience. Man, I'm, you know, here's the thing that's happening. I'm very critical about the games that I like. You need to stop doing that.
I'm the same way.
It's okay.
It's, I know.
You got to separate your, like, your genre expectations or your fandom expectations or in certain genres from, you know, the final quality of the game. But it's tough because, like, it's how much do you hold your expectations or what you want the game to be against a game that may not be trying to do that. That's usually where I struggle. And then, like I said, Alan Wake wasn't trying to be a straight up horror game because I'm always looking for that survival horror experience, and there wasn't anything about that. It was very atmospheric, but that wasn't its focus.
Brightfalls so bad.
Yeah, those are great environments, some of the best environments in recent times.
And that's how you do a more linear game well. You know, you have some flexibility in terms of movement. It's not just one straight line, but you also don't have to open it up too much. You know, I think there was a lot of things they did really well with that game. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. That's why I'm really happy that I actually played through it and got to experience it. And I'm way late, but that's okay. That's how I play a game. I do what I want.
And like what Justin was saying, just to his point, I think we all, when we find those games that aren't perfect games, and it's not like there's a lot of those. I mean, even like, you know, Game of the Year material, like last year for us in like Skyrim, there's still a bunch of us that didn't really like it all that much. Like, you'll always find the flaws in the games, like, just too much to handle if you're just not really ready for a game in that genre. I mean, I think that's the thing, because we all bounce around all these different genres that are like favorite ones, you know, horror stuff, strategy, you know, whatever, MMO. And then we'll just overlook certain aspects of it. You know, like Justin, I thought you did with Guild Wars 2. I was like, that looks so interesting to me. And then you're talking about it. And I'm like, the parts that you were like, well, this isn't that great. To me, those are deal breakers. And we, you know, we have this happens to us all the time. And, Alan Wake is, yeah, you know, sure. It's got some flaws and you could easily get bored with the game. Like you get bored with it. Like I'm not having fun with the combat, so I'm going to put it down.
On the stream issues again. We're going to take it down, bring it back up, and then move on to Ethan's next game. Right. No, I don't want you to change the setting. We're back.
Okay, so, Ethan, is it time? Or do you have other games to talk about here, or what?
No. I think I really want to get, because I feel like we're going to have a pretty long, in-depth discussion about this game. Far Cry 3, holy fucking shit.
Oh, man.
Is all I can say about it.
Did you expect to have this much fun with it?
No, I didn't. Because here's why I didn't. Because I saw the trailer last year, and I remember having this conversation with, I don't remember if it was you or Justin, is we were like, that's amazing. No way it's gonna work out like that. There's no freaking way they can fit the mechanics that they illustrated in that trailer into an actual game.
I need to go back to our E3 conversations and recall it, because I remember being the only optimist about this.
I was like meh, and I couldn't get into it. So
you and I were talking about Justin was like, oh, this looks awesome, and and I were like, eh, you know, after Far Cry, because Far Cry 2 was a great game, but it was missing so much. It tried to do too much, and it wasn't Crytek.
It was like Ubisoft Montreal or whatever studio. One of their 10 million studios. Like, it was, it, you know, like, but they did a bunch of stuff really well.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, I didn't stick with the game. And most people I talked to also did the same thing. Like, oh man, it was really cool that you could do this and this and this, but meh.
There was some really annoying aspects of the game that really just turned me off. Far Cry 3, I started with the game. I wasn't sure about whether or not I was going to pick this up. But I thought, you know, I got to, because I'm going to get it anyway.
Yep.
I'm going to buy it anyway, as we all do. And I was just, I am so engaged with this game. If I hadn't been editing video all weekend, I would have been playing this 24/7. You know, the story isn't anything to write home about. Actually, I thought the story was going to kind of turn me off of it, because it's kind of pretty generic. It's really generic. But then I thought about, why do I like the movies from the 80s? I like the movies from the 80s because you take somebody who has no reason to be in the situation they're in, and you give them some magical bullshit, and they do well. And that was exactly what happened with Jason Brody in the story. There's no reason that Jason Brody should be the hero in this story. There's no reason. And people are probably going to put up a big argument about, oh, he's a bro, anti-bro, negative bro.
You know what? But they, man, they own that shit in this game. They're like, you know what? Yeah, this guy's a fucking bro, and he's a douche.
And he kicks the fuck out of everybody.
But the way he does it, like, he doesn't just all of a sudden flip a switch and go like, you know, he's not like, oh, let's go windsurfing, bro. And then like turn around like 2 seconds later and go like, I'm going to break your balls. Like, he doesn't do that. He's
the
like,
progression is awesome.
He picks up a knife and stabs a guy, and he's like, oh shit, I just did that. And he like freaks out constantly. Every time you skin an animal, he's like, oh, this is fucking gross. I mean,
I don't like this.
He's like Shaggy with a fucking M16 and a Bowie knife. Like, he's constantly just like, whoa, we're getting into some trouble. But he's just like, but you're slaughtering dudes because it's like you have to, you know, and you're pissed off. You're out for some revenge.
And I'm not going to spoil it, but you have very fucking good.
Yes.
I guess maybe this spoke to me a little bit more as a guy that has brothers. I'm not going to go into it, but I was pissed. Like the beginning of the game, I was like, oh, skydiving, fucking parasailing.
Yeah, right.
You know what? Mountain Dew. I love Mountain Dew, but Mountain Dew. And then I was like, I mean, like, I'm in this to win it. Like, I'm like, when I'm fighting the pirates on this island, I'm not just killing them to kill them. I'm punishing those motherfuckers. Yeah. I am going in there, and if you saw my video that I put up on here, I'm being very, very. I'm fucking these dudes up. Like, and I love it. Like, it feels good.
And there's
so much things you can, there's so many things that you can do. This game feels so smooth. There's such a smooth level of combat here that I don't think, and I'm going to say this real quick. One, actually this was the title of my FPS. This sets the standard for FPS open world games. Mm. Plain and simple. Combat's great.
Yep.
It's open enough, but not too open and janky. And I'm also going to say Jason Brody is probably one of my favorite characters right now.
Another great character with the initials JB.
So, I'm okay with that.
Okay, now I want to say something too, because like this, the bro aspect of it, they really play it up big time with this guy. You're like, you got a brother who's like a real badass.
Yeah.
And then you are like, you're actually playing like the brother who's like, you know, you go from like Mountain Dew, you know, to like real dew of the mountains. I mean, he really like takes in the land. The land accepts him, and he has to, out of necessity, turn into a badass. And there's like one point, several hours in, where he's kind of like, to me, made like that full transformation where it's like, okay, he's actually kind of enjoying the violence and the explosions. He has a moment where you rescue someone, and your guy, Brody's like, he's like, holy shit, that was, you know, he's like, that was fucking awesome. He just blew up like everything and killed a bunch of dudes. And the other character is like, you think that's awesome? Do you realize what just happened? We almost just died. I almost just got, you know, violated or whatever. And it's just like, you're like, oh man, this guy, he has to kind of go off the deep end a little bit. And it's cool. Yeah, I think it's a cool character because like so many people are easily just going to hate him. And they're like, they know that. And they're like, you know what? Let's just take that, own it. And then like, go all the way with it.
Is it, the 5th right now? Is it
what?
The
what?
December 5th? The game just came out in the US.
Right.
Yeah, it came out on the 4th. Yeah, came out today here. Yeah.
Which is, you're going to see a bunch of people really pissed off about this character, but then I think everyone's going to realize they love him.
Yeah.
Because
so too.
I think everyone's going to be like, you know, again, the hipsters are going to hate this guy. Again, this is a hipster themed podcast, I guess. But hipsters are going to hate him. But yeah, I love like that feeling when he was like, look, I used to have this lifestyle where it was money and vacations and hot ladies. And now I fucking love sneaking up on dudes, stabbing them in the neck and using tigers to distract the rest of the military.
Like, cause this might be another hook for me. Because I'm an American and I haven't played this game yet because I haven't gotten a chance yet.
Let me say this real quick before you say anything. If you were French and then you played this game, you'd want to become an American actor.
Again, is that bold? Again. Like, all over again. Okay, go ahead.
No, so you're really going into this character, and honestly, I was looking, going into Far Cry 3, I was looking to just completely dismiss the character. Like, as long as he doesn't annoy me, as long as I don't notice him, I think I'll be fine.
Like, Jack Carver 2 is okay with you. Yeah, like, whatever.
Because I just wanted to get into this jungle and fuck shit up, and it sounds like the sandbox aspect of it is better than ever.
Yeah.
And, but the fact that, so when you're saying you're sneaking around and, you know, rigging wildlife to kill your enemies and setting up those scenarios, but you really feel like you're almost doing it as that character, and you're enjoying it more because he's enjoying it or experiencing it too.
You enjoy, Jason Brody is the icing on the cake.
Okay.
Because there is no reason that he should be in this situation, and he's doing it so well. And he goes from this, like, okay, I'm doing it because I'm being a nice guy, to, you know what? This feels fucking good. And all of us want to have that feeling. We don't want to just do it because of justice. We don't want to just do it because our friends are in trouble. We want to do it because
X Games. You know, that's why you want to do it.
I feel like at any given time, he's going to chug a Mountain Dew. Like, I feel like I'm going to blend herbs together and create a Mountain Dew and just fucking do like wakeboarding, like, for the rest of the game. Like, I definitely could imagine myself doing
like
that
the first
shit.
Time you got on a jet ski or in a hang glider, were you just like, yeah, woo! Were you like, yeah!
Dude, I literally skived down like a village, and there was all these people. And I yelled, and they couldn't hear me because it's a video game, and so I already pre-rehearsed. I yelled Mountain Dew. And I purchased a Mountain Dew.
But in his fucking name.
Oh my god. You know what? Wow. Like, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's true. But okay, aside from Jason Brody.
Wait, let's talk. Let me frame this for you, where you're going next, because we need to talk about the gameplay, and we need some anecdotes.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Go ahead.
Yes.
All right, so This seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, like, your interest level of this might have been similar to, you know, before, might have been similar to something like Saints Row the Third for me, and then all this news started coming out and saying how awesome that game was. This kind of seems like Far Cry 3 is in that same mold. Would you agree with that, or would you say it's a completely different experience than Saints Row?
I think
in terms of how crazy it gets, because obviously Saints Row is a whole different level. But
Saints Row 3 was a really great game, but it was really a great jerk-off game. It was a really great fuck-around type game. Far Cry 3 makes you feel like the ultimate badass. More than any game I have played for a really, really long time. Throw away the Skyrim progression, throw away any of that kind of stuff. The way they do it makes you feel so good, and it all flows together so well, and it brings that Far Cry 1 kind of like hunting, like,
oh, good.
Just being all just incomplete. And that was my big concern, is I was like, what happened to Far Cry? Far Cry 1 was awesome because you hunted fucking people. You hunted dudes down. You fucking punished them. And this game brings that back. Cool. Not as, you know, animalistic and crazy, but there's some little elements to that as well. But this is it's a different kind of game, but I think that it definitely has that fuck around appeal, but not in like that goofy way. More like in that, you know what? I've been watching the news, and the news depresses me, and I want to punish someone that punishes other people for no apparent reason. Let's fuck some pirates up, and that's what Far Cry 3 gives you.
I'm now
worried. If you could put that on a box, then fucking put it on a box.
I'd buy it again. I'd buy it twice.
I'm now worried for the future of Just Cause 3.
Yeah.
But I felt Just Cause. I felt a little bit of Just Cause 2 in this game.
Right.
I really.
And to me, there's a difference. There's a difference between, like, because I started asking myself after I enjoyed Saints Row the Third so much, is there also room for Just Cause? Because that was my previous, like, fuck around game. There was enough of a separation, but I think Far Cry 3 is kind of encapsulating some of that, like, island adventure side of it that.
Well, Just Cause is almost a superhero game. Mm-hmm. Like, it ventures more towards that, where this, like, you can do crazy shit and you can be a badass, but that's all you. That's your skill doing that stuff. There's no easy beat a bunch of ass button. Like, you can mess up very easily and die easily still. So when you do it.
It can be a tough game sometimes.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, like, now, shit can be stacked against you. I mean, regardless of how you progress, you have to use all the skills they give you, all the weapons they give you. You have to synchronize everything so well. I mean, it's not easy.
Awesome.
I want to I want to talk about three things with this game. And Ethan, I'm sure you'll have some anecdotes here. Drugs, trucks, and slaughtering animals.
So drugs, I think the drugs are what has connected Far Cry 3 to Far Cry 1 more so than anything, because they actually that's really well done. I think I was not expecting much out of that, but as I continue to play the game, so much more depth to it, you know.
It turns into like the has these drug flashback sequence kind of things or visions. And it gets real like Dear Esther, like at times with some of the drug stuff.
Okay, so you're talking about the actual drug use as opposed to the
hallucinations,
craftable pharmaceuticals.
I'm talking about like your dude's popping pills and eating mushrooms, and all of a sudden you're like you're doing shots at a bar with like you know your girlfriend and your brothers and stuff. Like it's like whoa, what the fuck? That's why they set it up. Like and it's real trip. Some of the sequences are super trippy, like weird shit. Like there's a house in a cave and it's sliding down the cave. Like it's like I'm like what's this? Where did this shit come from? Who spent time on this? This is weird.
Drug use in this game is really maybe promoted in like a really cool way though. Like I really want to do drugs after playing this game, because not only can you craft you can craft herbs to make you fireproof, but within the actual story you just find mushrooms that make everything so much better than it was before. So I
kind of poked fun at Black Ops 2's box art, like that they divided it into the back is literally single player, multiplayer, zombies. But what if the back of Far Cry 3 was
drugs, trucks, slaughtered animals? Well, it'd be accurate and awesome. Yes. Or trucks. Let's tell the truck story.
So driving in Far Cry 3, I like the driving. I think there's been some griping about it in the reviews because they drive like you would, like an actual vehicle would drive in a fucking jungle environment. It doesn't. They don't
like
control
ass.
Well. They control like ass, but it's so hilarious.
It's fun. It's like Warthog. If you put Warthogs in Dead Island.
but like take away any sort of control or like it's just I'm constantly flipping vehicles. I'm constantly going off of cliffs, and I'm never unhappy at the end of it. You know, like there's never a time like, oh shucks, these controls aren't good enough. Like it works perfectly well. Especially once you have other vehicles involved, it just becomes such a chaotic clusterfuck. It's so awesome.
Like, yeah, you can die from a car accident, but you can also just get thrown from the car. And there's times where your car just like, and the cars, they do the thing where they take enough damage and they catch on fire, and then which they're going to blow up a few seconds later. There was a time I was actually in a car, but the other guy was in a truck. And I was in one of those like little beater, like pinto looking things. All the cars in here are complete garbage. They look like garbage. They drive like garbage. You can repair them, by the way. There's a repair tool in the game. You can go and fix them up.
Cool.
It takes a slot
though
for a weapon.
There's actually a couple side quests that actually involve them. I actually met some people in the jungle. Their car was fucked up. And I was like, oh, right. They were like, oh.
Like they're waving me over.
Repair
like
repair tool. Yeah.
Yeah, come over and help me. Like, I'm like, what? I have an MP5 in that slot. I didn't bring the repair tool. So I'm like, I remember like seeing, like I'm being chased by some bad guys and I see another one at the edge of this cliff and we're like way up high, like altitude wise. I mean, this game, the map is absolutely gigantic.
Yeah.
And the elevation differences sometimes are huge too. So we're way up on a mountain. And it's like a little cliffside and it's got a wooden rail. And this guy is like, he's stopped there like because he was turning around and he's just sitting duck. And I plow him. We both go through the railing. And we fly, and we go off the side of a fucking mountain. We go through the air, we come down about halfway when we hit, and we're both, like, tumbling sideways. His car blows up while mine's still doing this thing, and it's a huge explosion. It's, like, right in front of me. It's awesome, and it's loud, and I'm like, shit, you hit the E button, you can actually tumble out of a car while it's, you know, in mid-crash and sometimes survive. I hit that button to do that, but when I did it, I was like, the car was, like, kind of going upside down, and my guy started to get, he did the animation to get out of it, but I got pinned under the car. Somehow I ended up in the passenger seat, landed at the bottom of, like, this hill, and it's on fire, and I'm, like, in the passenger seat, and it explodes, like, right in my face, and animals are running everywhere, and the jungle then catches, you know, it's like jungle's on fire, everything dies, including me, and I'm, like, okay, this is probably the new best trucks game.
It's really good because actually the greatest strategy I've kind of developed from this game is to run my vehicle into the enemies, jump out of the vehicle, and then blow my vehicle up, which blows everybody else up. That's my.
Have you planted C4 on your car yet? And then driven it and like pushed it down a hill like Arnold in Predator?
That's kind of an ignorant question, Josh.
No, I have to pose it like that for the audience. So go ahead.
My best C4 story actually has been I was actually getting attacked by Komodo dragons, and I had a vehicle close by, and I thought, you know what?
Wait, your car was getting attacked, or you were getting attacked?
I was getting attacked, but I had a vehicle close by because I needed to hunt some Komodo dragons for one of the many craftable bags you could get. And so there was like three or four Komodo dragons, which Komodo dragons in this game can fuck you up pretty quick. And I was backing out, and I was like, you know what? I'm dead. Like, I'm close to being dead. I had no medical supplies. Mm-hmm. In a game like this, dying is not a big deal. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Right. They've got pretty good checkpoints. All that stuff is set up pretty well. So I threw some C4 onto my vehicle and climbed in and then started to drive away, and they followed me. And so I thought, you know, okay, I'm going to pull back out. And I walked out, and they all kind of stood around, like kind of like chipping at the vehicle, like kind of trying to find me, like their AI was trying to detect where I was at. And I blew it, and I tell you, that was the most satisfying moment I had in a game, to see these fucking dumbass Komodo dragons
attacking an
empty vehicle, and I'm just standing there bleeding, and I later died by falling off a cliff, which was pretty anticlimactic. But to see these fucking Komodo dragons just explode, it felt so good.
So, okay, so that brings me to my third point. Is this not the best hunting game you played this year?
Here's the thing. The last best hunting game I ever played was Red Dead Redemption, and the animals actually had a fucking chance. You know what I mean? Like, the you had, like, not slow true. Fire. There was no automatic weapons in Red Dead Redemption. This game, I literally set a dog on fire with a fucking flamethrower.
Yep.
I had a machine gun. I took out like a tribe of tigers. Like, are they in tribes, packs, yes. Whatever the fuck tigers run in? It's so hilarious to hunt these animals, but don't get too cocky because the animals hunt you too.
Okay. Hang on. You just lied. That is not Red Dead was not the best hunting game you played previously. It was the hunting game we played on that live stream where you killed the falcon falcon with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
That was the best hunting game.
Touché.
Okay.
Third best was yes. Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. That was a good one. But outside the automatic weapons and the explosions and the flames and all that kind of shit, the hunting's not too bad. I mean, I think the tigers can take way too much, you know, too many bullets to the head. You know, I think that maybe that's a little bit inaccurate, but outside of that, it's fun.
The surprising
and the thing. Animals go after you as much as you go after the animals. You'll be walking through the jungle, and suddenly, like a tiger, jaguar, bear, like basically the worst predators on the planet will just jump out and get you. And the ocean is where it makes a huge difference. Is like I was jet skiing. Like I took an opportunity just to jet ski. Jason Brody is a man. He has fun, and he's an X Games type guy. And so I was jet skiing, just trying to blow off some steam, and I stopped and just took a second because I had to pee. And you know, there were sharks; they were after me. So I shot them. But it was kind of cool to see that.
Because you always take a gun on your jet ski, right?
Oh, I never go. I never jet ski without a gun.
Pirates.
I've only killed sharks with my knife, and I think I think Jason Brody's dad is Chief Brody.
Oh,
because of that. Because I mean, every time I run into a shark, I kill it. But let me tell you a couple of my animal kills. I killed a buffalo with a hang glider. I think it might have been a glitch, but anyways, I rammed it into it, and I lived, and it didn't. So that was pretty cool. And but my first animal death was to an alligator, and I was like, I was on the I was looking off a cliff down at the water, and I see like a cave entrance, and I remember seeing it in one of the little when you climb the towers, you have these. The radio towers, they have like Assassin's Creed moments where it spins around and shows the environment and stuff. And it's like, you know, like the perch thing. And I saw this little cave. And when I went over to it, I was like, oh, cool. You know, I'm going to dive down in there. I'm sure there's goodies because there's plenty of hidden loot all around the world. And flowers to pick, just like Skyrim. And I dive down in the water and I'm swimming in towards the cave. And then this biggest alligator just goes, whoom, and it jumps at me. I jumped so high on my chair.
Oh, yeah.
And then I died. I freaked out. And all you had to do is hit a button a few times, and but I freaked out and I didn't do that and I died.
I did that as well. I did that as well. Yeah. No, dude, trust me. The alligators scare the shit out of you because they blend in really well. I mean, like real alligators or are they alligators or crocodiles?
They're alligators. It's just, they call them alligators in the game, I think.
This is just frustrating for me coming off of Assassin's Creed 3 and how disenchanted I was with the interaction with all the hunting and all the animals in that world. And then this is the same publisher. That, like, in your studios, you have teams working on these games with, like, these very similar features. And I'm like, how do you, I don't even know how you stack up Assassin's Creed 3's animal system with what Far Cry has to offer. Cause now I'm frustrated that I might not have enough time for Far Cry 3 and I spent my time elsewhere.
No, let me tell you, that'll be a bad thing. I think you would like it a lot.
I know.
You might love it. Like, I think you'd have a really good time.
This is the new best looking game on PC.
Absolutely.
I play on everything on ultra like settings and it looks, it's not like my shit's just, not that
crazy. Maybe you're overly sensitive,
but you really should play this on PC.
Crytek. It's not. Based in...
It runs better on the computer. It looks better on the computer. I mean, as you would think, but the console versions are reportedly that they have some frame rate issues and stuff like that. But, oh my God, is it gorgeous. And the draw distance is huge. I don't notice grass pop in, which is a huge problem with open world games. You know, like with like Skyrim had that problem, and you know, Far Cry 2 had it, and so it just little things. Like I'm always kind of amazed by the environments. It's fun to play. There's plenty of like asshole physics moments. Most dangerous animal in the game is probably a cassowary.
Holy shit. Okay, can we talk about that really quickly? Those are the velociraptors of Far Cry 3.
Yeah, that's a prehistoric bird that's still alive today, and that has the biggest freaking... I've seen like a documentary on that thing. They have the biggest claws. Those claws are like bigger than your hand. They're gigantic claws.
Actually, in one of the screenshots I put from my review, you have some of those birds, and that scene right before that, I had been like... going after some of the pirates, and they all, like, five pirates got, like, wiped out by those fucking birds. Those birds just fucking kicked them. Like, kicked them to death. Like, just boom.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, holy shit.
The violence.
And I felt like Robert Muldoon should have come up and said, clever girl. Like, at some point. I was waiting for that at some point. Like, oh, man, those birds are insane.
Shotgun is the best hunting weapon. The bow is really good, and that's really what, you know, the bow's made for, but the shotgun will lay waste to any of the animals. Shoot them in the face with a shotgun. I think that's the best way to go hunting. But
RPG is actually the best hunting weapon, but it's probably the most impractical hunting weapon.
Well, sometimes it's tough because you do have to retrieve the bodies if you're going to skin them. And sometimes with those kinds of weapons, it can be hard to retrieve the bodies, you know, for obvious reasons. But when I first saw those cassowaries, I thought it was a peacock. And I started shooting with my pistol.
I walked up and tried to pet the thing. Like, I was like, oh, you're cute. Yeah. Look at you.
Because some of the animals are nice. Some of the animals don't fight. You know, like just a regular pig, it's fine. You know, like the cows and stuff, they're not going to try to, you know, goats, they're not going to attack you. They'll maybe run, but they're, you know, it's nice enough. But they're the animals that are predators, they're like, they think they have a chance of eating you or killing you and clawing your eyes out, they will go for it.
Yes.
Also, unlimited ragdoll bodies. Like, I slaughtered like 100 guys in a town, and all 100 bodies were still on the ground. They didn't disappear. I don't remember the last time that happened. When do you normally get the pile of bodies that big? It's great. I appreciate that.
I was going to say, I don't notice on consoles because they get rid of them all.
I appreciate that. I appreciate big body piles.
There's a lot of... this game just feels really complete. I feel like a lot of open world games feel like there's some... gaps they've left open just based on the fact that it's so open. And I think this game did a really good job of not being too huge. It's not Skyrim, but it does well with what it's doing, and it does. Yeah. It's so much fun. I have so much fun.
I am ecstatic that you guys love this game. Because I really felt like, you know, we do our monthly previews of all these games, and there was no reason to really do a monthly preview for December. And I was like, heading into this month, like, I'm the only one looking forward to Far Cry 3. And even I had kind of tempered my excitement. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they delayed it to December. This is a weird month to release it. Like, maybe it fell apart, maybe it didn't, you know, come together, and that has not been the reaction at all. And now, just like, can I get enough of this game to really fully judge it? Is that's going to be my big push.
I've been playing. How much time you put in?
That's a good problem to have.
I think I'm at probably about 20 hours right now, and I haven't. But I haven't put in enough. I've had a lot of fuck around time with this game at this point.
Are you enjoying the story though? Like that's something I don't think I don't know if we've touched on.
I'm definitely. I don't know why I care about the characters, but I do. You know, I feel this is bullshit.
That's how
like,
I feel.
The pirates piss me off enough. Here's the thing: I hate the slave trade.
Right.
The modern day slave trade. Anytime I hear anything
human
about it, and they touch on that nerve, man. Like it pisses
Boo.
Me. Like I don't know, and I want to help everybody out, and even though the other characters don't really seem like they like. Are that frightened about the whole situation? I mean, just, you know, one example, you find, you know, you meet up with one of your stoner friends and he's like, hey, thanks for helping me out. Right. And then you're just like, oh, let's get out of here. Like, but I like these people because these are the type of people that more than likely get caught in these type of situations and they deserve being rescued regardless of how stupid they may be or how much we may not like them. And they pull things together, and they had lives outside of this game, and this fucking Voss and his fucking pirates ruined that shit.
Man,
I don't like that.
How about
that's not
that?
Justice,
okay,
man.
I think this game has not all characters. I don't think are maybe up to this quality, but it has some of the best acting.
Voss is it Voss? Voss's character of the year. I'm going to say that right now.
Voss,
one of the best characters this year.
Yeah, Voss is really, really good. I think Brody's like pretty good.
Brody's good as well.
And even the Daisy and Lisa and you know like the like some
I like
of those
Dennis. I'm a Dennis fan.
Yeah, Dennis.
I like Dennis.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah, Dennis is great.
Always Sunny now. What do we?
Shut up. Dennis is really good. Although I don't like the guy in the white suit. I don't want to say more than that, but the guy in the white suit.
G-Man's in this game.
I was actually excited when I thought G-Man was in the game.
I haven't run into a wet blanket female yet, but I'm sure there's kind of.
Hey, there's a village. It's where you go to see the white suit man.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. There's a woman sitting in a chair outside of a hut. She's not random. She's always there. So this is something anyone can go check out. And she's wearing like a purple like baggy XL t-shirt. And she's middle aged.
Dear Esther moment.
And and we had a cup of tea. And no, so she's like real homely looking. One of the native girls and women. She's older. And she has got crazy eyes, and you can see it from really far away, like really far away. You can tell this woman is looks kind of crazy. But you think like, oh, somebody just got weird with the character modeling. As you approach her, she's like watching you, and the closer you get. Like, there's a point where you get close enough, and she just, her face kind of goes up really close to yours. She doesn't get up out of her chair, but she just looks right at you, and she starts talking real fast and crazy. Like, they programmed, like, a crazy person in the game, and had a voice actor for her, and she's got a bunch of lines, and just to, like, be weird.
Yeah.
She doesn't have anything to do with any missions or anything.
Well, one of the shops that you walk into later on in the game, the woman pulls a shotgun at you and points it at you while you're trying to shop. And it's just like,
whoa.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't really. Yeah, thanks. But
I'll
hey,
take my business elsewhere. There's vending machines I can get my ammo out of. I don't need you.
Yeah. Which after that moment, I actually have not gone back. But they have these little touches that they put into that. And I think it's just – it's a good – it feels like a very 80s, early 90s action movie, and I like that because they're not trying to be fucking serious and all like, oh, we're this is really legitimate character. If people don't like Jason Brody, it means that either A, you have you hate everybody in the world. Basically, mm-hmm. if you don't like Jason Brody, you suck. Or B, you hated the 80s. And if you hated the 80s, then get off my planet.
And the 90s. Really?
And the 90s, yeah. There's a lot of that. There's like it's almost like a that transition period. Far Cry 3 is a transition between like Commando and like Bad Boys.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoa. That has some steam.
Yeah. I mean, this guy out Paul Walker's Paul Walker. You know.
That's how
I feel.
Bitch.
Like this dude. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. He. You know what? You just gotta take it and just soak it in.
Imagine so Josh, Liam Neeson from Taken with Paul Walker's looks.
Sure, yeah.
And his attitude.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. And but sometimes he kind of talks like Matthew Lillard.
Like oh, he Scream? Always talks like Matthew Lillard. Yeah. Actually,
yeah. Cole, what do you have a question?
So when are you going to help me build a PC so I can play this game to its
anytime.
Fullest potential?
You just let me know. You know, our own Koopa Poopopoulos, Andrew Cooper, he just got his stuff in. He just got his parts in. And he's about to start enjoying the
goodness.
The tasty fruits. Mm. The PC fruits. Man. So yeah, Far Cry 3 is... Ethan and I are going to be talking about that, I'm pretty sure, next week on Horrible Show.
Yeah.
Nope. Special episode of that. You know what I'm talking. You know what I'm
we're
talking
gonna have a
about.
Special, yeah, we're gonna have
very
a
very special episode.
You can have your own unaired version of the Cursed Checkpoint that you guys can.
What? Whatever. Well, just because you haven't played this, we can't talk about it. That's horseshit.
I'm pissed.
Just play it.
So you need to play.
This
it, Justin.
Is so sick day, dude.
This is so weird for me.
Sick day.
It came out today.
Like so.
Well, hate Europe. Not for us in Europe.
And VPNs.
Well, actually, no. We. Europe deserves this. They
yeah,
should
they
have,
do.
They should have one.
Sure.
Of,
you
especially
know what? After,
Ethan.
After I had to wait 3 days
from
for
there,
XCOM.
But he deserves it most.
3 days for XCOM.
Yeah, see,
I deserve
he,
this. Well, you don't even have Wii U's yet, do you?
This is just the weirdest position.
I don't even know.
For me, on a Super Gaming Best Friend so far. It's just being this excited
for a game so great.
And not being able to contribute.
All right, Justin, you wanna cap us off?
I don't remember how to talk about games.
poor guy. Let's talk about your awesome Assassin's Creed 3 experience.
Is there
after
anything? Yeah, start off with something I can't hijack.
So
or nobody can hijack, actually.
Right.
So I finished Assassin's Creed 3. I'm proud of myself for sticking with it.
Wow, you finished it.
It was I did a majority of the game. I did all of the homestead missions. I did all of the naval battles. I did all of the, like, kind of side assassination contracts, all that stuff. The one thing I didn't do, like, you know, I didn't fulfill all of, like, the hunting guild's requirements, like, doing all the, or collect all the feathers, like, that kind of stuff I avoided. But, like, anything that was, like, an assassin mission, I sought out, and then, man, just... The seams, the cracks in that game just get bigger and bigger the further you get into it. It gets really, really frustrating because this is the most broken Assassin's Creed game since the first one. And
yikes.
And the really frustrating part is the setup, the story, even the characters. Like I'm kind of hot and cold on Connor, but the premise, everything is there to make the greatest Assassin's Creed game. So again, kind of what we were talking about earlier, Ethan. I have trouble judging this game against what my expectations were and like what I wanted it to fulfill because it is it's a tremendous achievement. Everything that's going on in this game is impressive. It's just, I did not play Revelations, but this is the Assassin's Creed game where you really recognize that a bunch of different teams worked on this game.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, you talked about that in the aftermath last week. Does that become more of an issue, like, or more apparent as you go on, or is it just, there the whole time, like where you can tell.
It's only
like,
more apparent because I became really frustrated that no, this stuff was not tying together. They did finally tie in the whole, like, there are some key story missions that involve the naval stuff. So I gave it a little bit of pass. I still contend, like, you're either like a great assassin or you're like a great captain of the seas. You're not going to beat both. So I still struggled with, well, how the hell is he, like, excelling?
Assassin and commander.
It's like they had a great idea for these ships, but
and holy,
it didn't fit with the storyline.
And holy shit, though, those missions are they are fun as hell. They're intense. Just because the whole gameplay aspect of when you're basically drawing all of your cannons and aiming your shot, there's just this, you have to wait for the shot to come into range and you hope that and you hope that you hit it, because if you miss it, it takes so damn long to reload that other ship is going to blow you out of the water. And so the intensity of those battles is awesome. I would play like a broader version of what that game is. I still don't know if it has a place in an Assassin's Creed game, but anyway, that's it just got really frustrating that things did not come together. I kept hoping like it'll bring it all together, but it ends abruptly. Like as far as like I felt like the beginning of this game is so long that I thought the storyline was going to be much bigger. While I enjoyed all the Desmond stuff, like anything going on in his world, I do not like the overall story bringing this together. Like,
this was the Assassin's Creed I thought I was going to get into. Like, I like the setting, I like the concepts behind it, but I've heard a lot of this kind
breaking,
of stuff.
It's breaking
just
down.
Not
man.
Enough.
It's breaking down. It's still a great experience, but it could be so much better. But when it comes down to it, it's more of a middling game. So I'm working on my review right now, but you can kind of see where that is headed.
Wow, that saddens me because that's kind of next up.
Yeah.
For those big games, I need to at least take a bite out of.
I mean,
I should still play it, right?
Yeah, you should still play it. Okay. It's still a great Assassin's Creed game to play, but it's just, especially coming off of the high that I had for during Brotherhood,
which I didn't play. Right. Remember the last two, so.
And then the good thing was I started to like Connor at the end of the game. I did not like him in the middle of the game. They make him also very naive, and like I have this problem when you're kind of a badass that people basically make you be their errand boy in a lot of these mission based games. But he just kind of gets taken for granted and just doesn't have a clue what's going on, and they don't make him likable just in kind of his demeanor. I mean, Ezio is so playful, and Ezio is such a great character, but I even kind of liked just how cold Altair was, and there wasn't anything for me to grasp onto with Connor, except he has a strong final act for his character, and I would like to play as Connor again in, a better sequel to Assassin's Creed 3, but I feel like
need more games with the same protagonist in Assassin's Creed.
I'm okay with it. Because Ezio worked out so damn well. But they used up all their great material. Like if you're gonna do, for Connor's life, what really do you focus on after the revolution? So
what happens at the end?
The War of 1812.
They do set some stuff up in the epilogue, but just kind of ended on a big down note, and it just I kept like, no, I need to finish this game. I need to finish this game and see how it ranks in my list, and it just never bumped itself back up.
Maybe he'll get recruited as a time cop, and they'll just put him somewhere totally totally different
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh shit. That's what this is all turned into, isn't it?
Time Cop. Wait, no, we've already had that game. It's called Darkest Days. That was a game. You guys didn't play that, did you?
No.
That wasn't that old. This was this generation, and it was you traveled through time. There was like Civil War. There was maybe some World War II, Revolutionary War. Like you jumped all over the place.
Sounds whatever. Old to me.
Yeah, you guys should try it. It's really bad.
we should.
Let's see if I can't build this up to something happy. So I'm going to keep while we're in the dredges here.
Oh, no.
So I was dead set on going back and finishing The Walking Dead. I had finished episodes 1 and 2. Oh. And I started into episode 3 right after 5 came out. I was going to play one a week and finish this up because I heard such great things about the ending to the season. And I ran into the save glitch and lost my entire game. So,
that is awful. I mean, that is just awful.
So I've gone back. I finished episode 1 again. Be finishing episode 2. I still plan on finishing it before the end of the year. I'm glad that I had actually like I'm glad it glitched where it did versus if it had glitched in episode 4 or 5. Holy shit. So, lost everything, started over. I think I've made about the same choices, but so that was frustrating. But I am looking
forward. Imagine.
I'm looking forward to finishing that game.
You're a much less angry person than me, because I would have gotten so mad. I would have said, "No, I'm not going to play."
Oh, especially with that game. That game. I mean, I think with that game, like some of the, I try to play it multiple times through, and I think I'm almost set on my decision. So I don't think I'm going to play it any differently to like make it feel different. So I'd be pissed.
But the game's not that long. Like you're talking. I'm talking 3 hours.
Dude, I have the attention span of a fucking gnat. You know what I mean? Like for me, like it'd be a horrible thing.
I'm really talking that I've lost 4 hours of gameplay. So
But that's a lot in your fucking library, man. I mean, you got to think about it. Like, you got Far Cry 3 to play. I'm just saying.
You have time for this shit.
Well, I've actually kind of come up with a strategy here. Like, a lot of these other smaller games that I want to finish, I can just kind of play chapters or stages and then go play my big game. Because the other game I'm trying to play through at the same time is Mark of the Ninja. And because I am set on finishing that
game. I forgot about that game.
God, I love that game.
Wow.
Oh, it is. And I'm getting better at being a ninja. I'm much faster in these recent playthroughs of the game. And just understanding much more of how easy it is to sneak up on these dudes. And it's still so satisfying to rack up the points and stealth kill. And also, I'm getting a really big kick out of terrifying the guards because you. Like, if you kill a guy on an upper level and there's a guard below you, you can drop the body of that guard and it'll just freak the other guard the fuck out. And you can sneak up on and kill him. And then you hide their bodies and get that score bonus. And then you keep moving on. And yeah, that game is a strong contender for...
Oh, there's a metagame to that game that's just... It kind of reminds me of Orcs Must Die in the sense that, like, you play the game through, you have a good time with it, but then there's that whole scoring system that's just so complex, and you can just get so tied up in it. I mean, I feel good being a ninja. Yeah. Like, I feel real good
being a ninja. Good to be a ninja.
It feels damn good to be a ninja. And that's a better – and Justin, you and I had a checkpoint on this about ninjas.
Yeah. It's,
and I liked kind of the more action-oriented ninja, but after playing Mark of the Ninja last week, I think, you know, Ryu has a little bit of a, you know.
Dude, we need a new Tenchu.
I'll let you know Mark of the Ninja, if he takes down a jet.
Like
that's the thing that I like about it is I don't think he's even gonna try to take down a jet. No. Like he's sensible enough to attack like at points that he needs to attack. You know, that's why I like that. And everything works together so well. That game feels good. That's a good feeling game.
Well, how come we've never gotten an open world ninja game? Not like
we talked about that. Justin and I talked about that on that checkpoint as well.
Where
we
is
need
that?
That.
Who makes it?
That's what the Assassin's Creed teams need to graduate to. They need to move on.
Oh shit, a ninja.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that ever?
I don't think so.
A ninja.
But see, wait, that's the issue is nobody wants to just you have it's like Skyrim. You could be a ninja in Skyrim if you wanted to.
Not the same. No. You don't have shurikens, you don't have the little claws to climb the side of buildings with. You don't have smoke bombs.
But so maybe what they need is a game that you could be a total action ninja, like American Ninja, or a stealth ninja, like Mark of the Ninja Ninja, or a superhero ninja, like Ninja Gaiden.
Well, literally, I just want like a super awesome Tenchu game, another one of those.
I feel
because you could kind of do that.
I'm having deja vu, Ethan.
That was mostly stealth.
Talked about had ninjas for a good podcast there. It's a good time though. But yeah, please play that game, everyone. Just blank.
Yeah, don't be an idiot. Awesome.
Play that game.
Play that game.
If you're on the fence, go watch our game or reflex review of Mark of the Ninja.
If you're on the fence about a game called Mark of the Ninja, stop playing video games. Like, I'm serious. Just fucking stop.
Yeah. I was ready to dismiss it from its name, honestly.
It's a pretty generic name. You could assume that it's a guy named Mark and he's like of the clan ninja or something, and it's like some stupid like I used to read this comic book called Fat Ninja, and it was really dumb. Like, you could just assume it's like that.
Don't assume.
If your name's Mark and you're a ninja and you're that awesome, that's even better.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like I just killed 50 dudes. My name's Mark.
American Ninja, the video game. Even better. Let's do that.
Michael Dudikoff.
Starring Michael Dudikoff.
I love voice act that
love
shit.
Love me some Dudikoff.
He's probably not busy.
He's
probably dead.
Oh, I hope not, dude. Don't say that.
I'm sorry.
Or Cody from Step by Step. He could take over.
That was Kickboxer.
It was Kickboxer. Yeah, right.
What the hell? I mean, it's not a stretch.
my Lily game of the week, because it is becoming a habit of when I'm playing a game, she's going to come see what I'm playing, and
Black Ops 2.
With my library, I have to quickly switch whatever I'm playing, especially lately. And finally got her to try other games other than the mall. So we played Castle Crashers this week. And all I wanted to say to that, I'm surprised I still have as much fun as I do playing that game solo because I'm learning, like, I'm actually trying out different fighting techniques, like the different combos that you unlock, because I basically found one that worked and got me through the whole game, and I didn't experiment with different ways of trying to kill these guys, and I was trying to entertain her, and I started having... That game's deep. I mean, that game, they put a lot of time into balancing balancing the action in that game, and I was thinking, coming off of playing Double Dragon Neon, just how much more enjoyable Castle Crashers is, and it's a classic. So,
great game. Where's that next one? Where's that what's it called?
Battle Block Theater.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I don't know.
What the hell?
Yeah.
They had PAX and arcade machines.
For like 3-4 years
ago.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Yeah.
Give us the game.
Yeah.
We want more.
Then I had a scary moment at a party this weekend. I ran into one of my old World of Warcraft guildmates. And he uttered,
I hadn't heard from you for a while, so I wonder what happened.
He uttered the
fast forward. You had sex with a panda.
They're in danger, Justin.
We come back to the Elysian tail thing.
There's just been
full circle.
I am. If you follow our newswire, you might notice an influx of MMO stories, just because I'm fascinated with the like MMO. Gameplay styles and the business models behind them and just how they continue to support these games. So we got to talking about World of Warcraft, and we all know I have a problem every now and then. And he just used the phrase that I've been reading, that people are really calling this the best expansion, just with, they have streamlined this game hardcore and just added even more hooks, a pet battle system, and much more interesting daily quests. And I'm just like, I am not allowed to talk to you. Because basically I have the choice. Do I play one game or do I play all the games? And continue to try to support Horrible Knight and play all of the games. But I enjoyed that conversation, but I also told him at the end, I was like, I just cannot talk to you because I will give in. And
do you hit him? You should have punched him. That would have set a message.
So be on the lookout for my eventual break in the spring where I give in to pandas.
Ugh. Don't tell us about that.
I do want to talk more about Zombie U, just because this game hit home for me. I love the fact that I load this up. Everybody in my house is asleep, and it's dark. The TV's big, and I don't know if I'm gonna like this game. But as soon as it loads up, and I had my little geek out moment where, you know, you start off in this safe house and this guy's giving you instructions about how to live in this world or what your next task is. And you pick up the gamepad in game and then he's talking to you through the gamepad. Just that gimmick that the sound is no longer coming out of my TV. It's coming out of my gamepad. And it's just like, I was immersed in this game from the moment I first played it. And that's exactly what I wanted. And it feels very much original Resident Evil survival horror. I know it's kind of clunky. I know it doesn't look the best. But I am fucking into this game. And I love it. And then also I like the little bonus that I can, if I need to, I can just plug my headphones into my gamepad and I can hear the entire game, which is a lot handier than running my big long speaker cable for my headphones in my living room. But like I said, this is the atmosphere that I've wanted. It's a survival horror game that I haven't had in a long time. I will defend this game. I love this game. And I'm sure I will tire of it, but just I think it's also helped that I've had this appreciation of some of these harder games with permadeath, and just the whole aspect of my favorite feature is that when you die, you become a zombie and you have to go get your stuff off of the zombie version of yourself. And
the zombie you.
Yeah, I've been trying not to say that. So I did not expect it to kind of validate my purchase, but this is the best use of the gamepad as well. I really get into scanning the area and gives me flashbacks of, oh, what if they use this in Metroid? And my other favorite feature is that it has a fucking motion detector in it that is reminiscent of Alien. Just that you hit your little motion detector, your gamepad displays the map, you hit the motion detector button, it sends out a ring, and you can see where the zombies are moving, and you don't know if they're zombies or if they're rats or whatever. And like I said, total immersion, that's what I wanted, sold.
It's Well, did you play it before or after we had the Game Curious?
Before.
Okay.
And after. But.
Since then, I haven't played it because that experience was like so intense. Yep. I mean, we're, you know, we have a couple lights on and you're sitting next to me. So I performed fairly poorly on the stream. I lost a lot of good men out there. It was pretty upsetting. I got a few things done, sort of ish. So, you know, I did have progress. It's not like I just, you know, was slaughtered with no progress, but it was really tough because I lost all my stuff. Like, I lost everything 3 times. I have no things. And where I'm at now, it's like, it's pretty dire. Like, I have a cricket bat and nothing. No candy bars, no guns, no bullets, no whatever. And it is so intense. Like, that game scares the shit out of me so bad. Like, I have a hard time playing it. Like, it's really good, and I recognize that, but I'm like, I don't want to play it because I don't want to be stressed out.
I totally understand.
Like, do I want to stress out like that? Do I want to, you know, do I want my blood pressure to go through the roof? Like, it gives me a headache. Like, why would you want to play that? It's awesome. And
yes.
But I don't know. I think I just might be, you know.
Scared.
Yeah, I might be too big of a wuss for that game. Not that I think, like, oh, awesome, stuff's going to get me, like, when I turn it off. It's just, I'm just too stressed out.
That's where I'm at. Like, I'm on the fence of whether or not I want to get it just because of that fact. Like, I don't want to be stressed out and scared. I want to play it, but it's like that feeling is like, I hate it so much.
Get it to support it, even, but
no,
don't
I know,
ever
I know,
play
I know,
it.
I need
like,
to.
It's, that's fine.
Now, can you, a sequel to that game, I think, could be like really good. I mean, it's quality, but there's just like, you know, it's a launch title.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the caveat. And like, you, there's just no way around that. There are things that this game does not have because like there's one melee weapon. You have the cricket bat the whole game and just one swing for it. And I think that is like, that's kind of lame, but like, did they have time to put in more stuff? Probably not. But the fact
or
that
they
got,
want to?
But did they? But the fact that they like, I mean, they prioritized and probably correctly, and made all this other the other parts of the game really good. It just stresses you out. Like, I'm creeping through a room, and then it's foggy on the floor, and here's a zombie with no legs crawling at me, and I turn around, and there's a zombie biting my face, and it's like, you just can die so fast. It's just so brutal. It's just like, it's like Binding of Isaac, but with like, you have a lot more to lose in a way, because you,
that's good, yeah,
you know, that's the thing that stresses me out so
like
much, because I'm like, oh shit,
Binding
I have
Isaac,
all that stuff,
but the world's kind of continuous, like because you still, yeah, like you're still making progress, like if you've, you know, tripped a new camera, like you, like,
yeah, but you don't just pick it up to like play. I mean, I thought, I was like, I'll just pick it up and play life and whatever, but like, dying stresses me out so bad, the fear of dying. I thought I would do that. I don't want to do that. And like, you're saying, like, you're sitting down for the haul, and
yeah, like, I might squeeze through the gamepad at some point. I worry about the stability of that in my hands, but
I don't know. But yeah, it's cool. It is cool.
I love that, and this is on our live stream, of our game Curious. There's a moment towards the beginning of the game, like where you're still figuring out how this world works, and it's, you know, it basically says you need to go into this warehouse or this shop, and you know, I'm starting to, this is kind of my first like really big venture out of the safe house, and I'm picking off zombies, and you know, thinking I'm playing this game strategically well.
You're playing like the Walking Dead TV
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I've got this figured out. Like, I've heard this game is hard, but I, you know, I think I can, if I pace myself, if I take my time, check the corners, and I'll be good. And then you come up to the shop, and you check the door, because this is the only place you can go. You check the door, and it triggers an alarm, which summons all the zombies. Like, fuck, this game hates me, and now I have to work around that. So as soon as you think you have the game figured out, it's probably going to fuck you over. And I'm okay with that in this instance.
I freaked out so bad, and that, when we, on our live stream even, and I freaked out and died horribly because I freaked out. And then I stepped on a landmine, as pointed out in the chat. Thank you, Brittany.
So if you like any of that,
my own landmine.
If you like any of that stuff, feeling helpless, and not really wanting to play the game and loving it for that reason, Zombie U might be for you.
And you, did you play some Black Ops 2?
I did. That was a big moment. I like even took kind of caught my breath before this happened because, like I've said before, it's the first Call of Duty game since Modern Warfare for me. And I am entering this game so fucking lighthearted, like I don't give a shit. And I understand what you were saying on our charity edition of the show where you were talking about Black Ops 2, that it does feel like Call of Duty. It's just like kind of mowing dudes down. And honestly, after playing Halo 4 and a couple other shooters, like the guns don't feel as good. And everything feels a little not as I'm not as into the game, but it does feel a little more like a shooting gallery. That's kind of where I'm going. But it's still fun, and I'm just turned off the thinking parts of my brain, and I'm just enjoying the presentation of it. I haven't gotten that far into it.
Have you just played the single player?
Yeah, and I'll probably play zombies if we get a crew together. But I'm in it for the single player. I'm in it for the
Michael Bay. You're on Xbox though, right?
Yeah, I'm in it for the Michael Bay movie.
How about Michael Rooker?
Michael Rooker is fucking awesome.
Digital Rooker.
It's fucking awesome. I like the characters, and I want to go back and play the story of Black Ops 1. Like, because there's just something, like I said, lighthearted about this that I really enjoy. And I haven't had a game experience like this in a while. So it's just like the perfect fit for me. I don't know what that means as far as quality goes, but I'm having a blast with it and kind of laughing at it and with it and just waiting for the next explosion and but also at the same time having not just being away from this series for a while and just seeing the production values that go into that, just the fact that they're getting all these named actors, like it can get tiring, but at the same time I like kind of picking out Michael Keaton's voice and like I said, seeing Rooker's face on the it's creepy. It's cool for what it is.
Yeah. Look, I like Michael Rooker's awesome,
and
he's underrated.
So that's the game. That's the game I'm into now. I thought it was a good follow up to Assassin's Creed 3. Like, I'm just gonna blow through this game. I'm playing like on regular. I made the mistake of playing on veteran or whatever. In Modern Warfare, I was like, I'm not in it for that challenge.
I'm not either.
I like the setup so far for the bad guy. Like,
he's a bad guy.
And
he's a real bad guy, but he's kind of got kind of a soft story to him too.
Like, avenging his sister or something. Like, isn't it?
Yeah, that's sad.
I also my Nine Inch Nails fanboy moment. Fuck, they're using Reznor's music for the menu music, and I was ready to go after that.
So. Yeah, that's good menu tunes. I like good menu music. That gets me pumped for a game. That's why Dragon's Dogma is probably the best game of 2012.
Have you played any more? Have you finished campaign?
No. Okay. I haven't. I'm not going to play that without streaming it. Okay. I feel like I made a promise to everyone, and I will not play it without playing Mr. Dave. So,
No. Sorry, I was talking about Black Ops 2.
Oh, man, I was like, I'm thinking about Dragon's Dogma. No, I haven't played more of the single player, and I haven't played zombies yet, but I play multiplayer.
Okay.
So, buddy Zachy D, which you know, hit me up the other night and said, hey, let's play some, I got Black Ops. Let's play some multiplayer. I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, okay, Call of Duty. Let's play multiplayer Call of Duty. I'm like, I'd never thought of that. I don't do that. That's weird.
Wait, it has a multiplayer?
Like, that's something I don't do. I jumped it. We jumped in together on a server and just ran around and completely slaughtered dudes for like 2 hours. And it felt pretty good. That's one of those games that the highs are high and the lows are low. When you're getting your ass whipped and, you know, you're getting teabagged, dudes are talking shit, and kill cam pisses you off, and you're like, you're raging hard. And you're gonna put a fist through a monitor, but man, when you're killing everyone else, it turns you into an asshole. You're just like, you suck it, fuck you. I mean, you're possessed, and you're like, the shit spewed, the venom coming out of your mouth. You're like, that's not me. But then you realize, like, you know what? All that's inside of me. I just need to puke it out. Sometimes you need to play a game like Call. I'm not saying you should play Call of Duty, but a game like Call of Duty to get out of your system. Sometimes you got to shoot something in the face. Now, you can also get that from other games. Anything with a shotgun in it. Even single-player games with AI that you can shoot in the face. But sometimes doing it against another person online just makes you feel really good. And it's been a while since I played multiplayer Call of Duty. And so it's... And I'm approaching it from the lighthearted perspective that you are.
Yeah.
And since I had a positive experience, I played with some shitty players. It made me feel good. Hopefully there's not some bullshit matchmaking that then takes me up a ladder. Because I need to stay at the bottom. Keep me down there, game. Do not put me up.
Well, you got
to
get it on Wii U.
Yeah. Hey, net. Okay, I like where you're going.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. If I get that game, it's going to be on Wii U.
I've heard positive things about that, actually.
Just, you know, Reggie said it's the best version. everyone else says it's not. But who do you believe? Reggie. You know? You know? Yes. Hence our background on our live stream. Yeah, Black Ops 2 is fine. Yeah.
Yep.
It's totally fine.
Couldn't recommend playing these games every 4 years more.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's it for me, though.
Is that about it? Yeah. I mean, and I basically, I piggybacked on all of you guys. I will say one thing. A long time ago, I said, hey, I'm going to have this mandate with a friend of mine, old friend, and we're going to play Shadows of the Colossus, right? We did it.
No shit.
Yeah, we actually did it. We took a day, and he drove down, and we got some beers, and we sat all day long, and we beat Shadow of the Colossus from start to finish, the HD collection version, start to finish, and it was great. We got stuck on one. Well, there was one guy we had some trouble with, and I think it was just AI. It was a little bit funky, and I think I remember that from the first time. The game's not. It doesn't control the best. There's not a lot to it, but it's just still one of my favorite experiences. It's just so solid. Like, it's so cool, different. It just makes you feel stuff. I feel bad is how I feel now. Like, having gone through the game, you know, when it's like, you know, you feel bad killing those things.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like an ass. It's just big. Like,
these
things could have been maybe on Sesame Street. And I kill every one of them by stabbing them in the head. And sometimes the eye, like I shoot them in the eye with an arrow and they get mad and I stab them in the hand and the ass and the back and the
asshole.
And I know they don't have colossi.
You're an
I don't have. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, thigh and asshole.
Well, you wouldn't have to stab them in the asshole as much as insert it into the asshole. I mean, I'm just saying a stab is like into something that shouldn't be. Yeah, never mind.
Well, you don't have to go at it straight on.
No.
You could come at it from like 45 degree angles. That would hurt like hell.
Ugh.
Woo, wow. Man. And that open wound down there, that's bad news.
That's not a place bacteria. You want an open wound. That's going to get infected every time you take a poop.
Yeah. Especially those guys, because you know, like, they probably shit those like hairy rocks.
Hey, so Justin, horriblenight.com updates.
Those guys eat concrete.
This is never ending story. Like,
take a drop. Don't you know?
Never ending story.
Strong hands. Reminds me. Cole, every time I see that guy, I think of you.
Don't you know?
Horriblenight.com updates. Cole.
Oh, Cole's got it?
Cole. That threw me off. Don't do that.
Yeah, threw me off too. Well, Josh, we are currently doing some writing of reviews of Assassin's Creed 3. That'll be up on this
week. Look for that soon. And, this week for that one? Yeah.
I don't know about this week, maybe. And then we are still looking into doing some live streams later tonight.
Thanks, well Cole. Do you have anything to add, Justin?
Yeah, that Assassin's Creed 3 review should be this week.
Thanks.
Yeah. We're also gearing up for our Games of the Year discussion. Next week on The Horrible Show, we'll be breaking down our category selections live. So that'll be a little bit interactive for our chat audience, because that's always fun to come up with the more ridiculous categories and kind of start picking our fights. And
wait, are we going to pick games in those categories or
no,
just the categories?
Just the categories.
When do we pick the games?
That'll be...
To vote on.
We're still figuring out how we're handling that. The announcements, I know...
Let's just not do it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do a holiday buying guide.
As soon as I'm done...
In the form of best games in genres and price points.
Okay. I'm into that.
So the You guys can work on that.
Ah, he's so boring. Cole.
The week in between Christmas and New Year's is when we'll be announcing all of our games of the year, and also some of our top 10 lists from all of our writers or whatever version of a top 10 list they come up with. We're
like a top 8 list like I did last year.
Or like top 10 games I actually played this year may or may not be from this year. So Zelda 2 has a chance, Cole.
It always has a chance, Lacey. I play it every year. It always has a chance. I think Punch-Out is number 1 for me this year, though.
Then Ethan and I are still working through some highlights and kind of a wrap-up of the charity marathon. We've got a lot of video content out there. In our highlights side.
24 hours of video content. Well, it's a lot to go through.
we've even cut up all the highlights of the different game segments from the Charity Marathon. That's on our Twitch TV channel. But we'll be summing that up and kind of looking at some of the Photoshop work of Ethan Moses as well.
Yeah, when you guys send me your picture, I've got one picture from a guy. If you won an award that night, and I call them awards because it makes you feel better, send me your picture.
Major award.
Major, yeah. I need pictures for these Photoshops. My imagination is not that diverse.
So you'll have that to look forward to in the next week or so. And
is there another Brotabulous video going up soon?
We just put one up.
We did?
Yeah.
What?
What do you think it's about, what? Ethan?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Once again, Ethan, he's my shout out like every horrible show.
Fucking killed it.
His fucking Brotabulous videos. You got to
go to
our YouTube channel and watch them right now if you haven't.
It's the best Brotabulous. Yeah. I feel really good about this one. There's also some other good news coming up in a week. You guys haven't talked about yet.
What? Well, let's let it out. This is it.
Coming home.
Oh,
are we actually going to see you? Are you going to make an appearance?
Yeah, I think
here for an actual live game stream from the studios. 18th.
Is that correct? On the 18th, I'll be live in Indiana in the flesh.
Yeah, our next Super Game Best Friends
in Estados Unidos.
Next Super Game Best Friends might have him in.
I'm not sure what you just said, but I'm in.
All right, that's all right. Look forward to that very soon. That's what's going on with us. We're not doing this. So, yeah, that'll do it. Thanks for hanging out for another 2.5 hour show with us. We missed threesomes this time. I'm sure a lot of you are really crying about that. But anyways, thanks, everyone. And we will see you again in 2 weeks.
Super.